welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser. Big old backyard. It's good to be here.
yes, Dag, David Alan Greer, otherwise known as my main man, going to be on the show. He's going to be on the show today, so... he's calling his daughter from the porch.
Estradiro! Estradiro!
Those are all ingredients, hormones, and birth control pills that thought it'd be funny if he named his black children after and then yelled for them. Also, Jonah Hill in studio from Superbad. He's the chubby one with the Jufro. Good times.
All right.
I'm going to need some phone calls here because...
Let's start right there with 1-866-901-ADAM. But wait, because I'll bet this is specific, but I just want to get that out there.
Well, yeah, specific, and it could be both. Could be considered both because I, as you know, I'm bugged by many small things. One of my recent small things. I have probably several thousand things to do just with the car alone. For instance, I've said many times, I'm bugged when people do their job but not quite, and you can't really say anything because it makes you an a-hole, which is, I'll give you an example. There is, every single time I pick my car up from the valet, the seat is all the way up. Obviously, the guy jumped in the car. The seat was too far back, so he moved the seat all the way up because every valet out here is 5'5". And then when I tried to get into the car, it was very hard to get into the car because the seat was all the way up. They'll never move it back. I've never had that happen to the best of my knowledge. My latest, yes.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt, but nobody, I don't think, got this like I got it. I remember when you were telling a story that started this way and you got in your car and your wife had remembered to back the seat up for you. And I thought, what a cool husband. And I don't often think that about you.
That was.
What a cool husband to remember that she did it. And what a cool wife to have done it, but to have taken notice and told us all.
Oh.
Because it seems small to you, but I got it immediately that she did that for you.
It's the little things.
Yeah, it is.
But I ignore all the big stuff.
Yeah, damn
like
right.
Love.
Right.
Every time I started noticing this, it took me a while to figure it out. Whenever I get my car washed, your floor mats don't just sit on the floor of your car. They're buttoned down. If you have any car that's, you know, within 20 years old, there's a couple of male ends sticking up and there's a couple of loops and they sort of pop on.
Yeah, sure.
So they don't slide around on your car. Well, there's a passenger side and a driver's side and a back seat. One's right and left side one as well. Every single time I get my car washed, I get back in my car and I start driving around and I notice they're all undone because what they do is they pop them all off. They pull them out. They shake them out. They vacuum it out. And then when they put them back, they just throw them back into the car. They never pop them back onto the place they depop them from. You sound like a whiny piece of crap if you tell them, hey, but really, you undid something. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's where I have the complaint when I see the peanut butter with the spork stuck into it that's sitting in the middle of the community kitchen here at work, which is, that peanut butter was in the refrigerator. It had a lid on it. You took it out. You took the lid off. You made yourself a sandwich. And now it's in this state.
Right.
And the next guy can put the lid back on or deal with it, however he deals with it. You did something. I must deal with it. I have to go yesterday. I know. Sounds like I'm turning into a Lenny Bruce up on stage here and spinning out of control. But
I had to go.
I was working on my car. Yeah, I was kind of cleaning out my car, and I went through all four corners of my car and reattached these mats that were on it. Now I've reattached them. When they go to the car wash next week, they will all be undone again, and then I can redo them. The same guy who undoes them and beats them out and vacuums is the same guy who puts them back. And he's aware that he's undone all of these things. He's just not going to re-snap them. Nobody's more aware of it than he is. I'm sure he does it 100 times a day. He just never puts them back. What is it for you? What is the, is there a big thing? I'm looking for small stuff. The big stuff we can all agree on. This is mine. I don't ever hear anyone else complaining about what I just complained about. But as far as you go, and I mean you in this room and
you, I thought you meant the car.
You, the listeners, and right you the car.
You, the you go. Forget it. I got complaints.
You, the you go. Tell me what your version of this is. Because I like the small stuff. I like the stickers on the fruit and the snaps on the floor mats. I'm not so much interested in the global warming or the terrorist stuff. That stuff we can all figure out. 866-901-ADAM. I'll hear your complaints. But, Danny, what do you got?
Oh, I got two. The first one is, and this could be big in most people's world, $16, although nothing is ruined. My wife never ever put CDs or DVDs back in the case, and a lot of them aren't labeled. You don't know what they are. They're just silver things, and I literally scream, why don't we just throw $16 out the window every time we drive by a Tower Records? Why don't we just throw $16 out?
Yeah, I know.
I've been unfaithful to the woman, and I want to punch her in the head for that one.
Just the part where some have labels and some don't in CDs and in DVDs. You ever going through your DVDs or your, you know what? I'll tell you why. I have a DVD carousel. I have one of the jukeboxy things that holds like 300 or 400 of them. You just pile them all in, right, and that's where they live. You never take them in and out. But you're spinning it around and you're trying to kind of flap them, trying to go through them and go, which one is this? Which one is this? And the ones that are clearly labeled are very easy, but the ones that aren't, can't tell what they are. And same with the CDs. And yes, there was a time when CDs were sold to us as indestructible discs. Like, this is essentially a frisbee that plays music, people.
Right.
Do with it what you want. Play Ultimate in the park. Throw it to your dog. It's awesome. And you didn't realize that these things got scratched up and screwed up. And I believe that I have broken 6.5 out of 10 jewel cases that I've tried to open. I've broken the two little wafer thin arm tabs that create the hinge on the back. There's no such thing. I average 6.5 out of 10.
Okay. Somebody thought you said 2 and I thought,
I'm about 65%. Now, most of them I break as I'm trying to undo the cellophane that I can't get my fingernail under. But some I'll mix it up a little and break as I'm trying to pull the sticker off that doesn't let me open the thing. But those two little arms, and who would have guessed that a piece of plastic, 1 mil thick, that's as thick as a human hair, and as wide as 1/8 of an inch that were sticking out an inch on the back. Who would have guessed that one of those would have broken off almost every time you open the hinge? You want to talk about the worst design ever? The hinge mechanism for the CD jewel case. Undo it one day and take a look at it. It's two prongs, two very thin little plastic prongs. And when one of the arms breaks off, well, then the other one's as good as broken, too, because it's not like it works on half a hinge.
Right.
And there's no gluing it back and there's no fixing it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Now, I don't know if this... I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt your turn. I don't know if this one counts, but something to the effect of, the other day I was at an all-you-can-eat sushi bar, but I didn't want all-you-can-eat sushi. I wasn't that hungry, but Amy did. They wouldn't let us do it.
You couldn't...
No.
You couldn't not eat all you wanted?
I wanted the teriyaki steak or whatever, but can't do it. You both have to have all-you-can-eat. Why?
Why?
Because, of course, I'll pick at her all-you-can-eat and eat sushi as well. So I looked at a guy who barely spoke English, and I said, even though you are accusing me of being a thief in advance, I will still eat here.
Interesting, yeah. Sushi, almost the Japanese equivalent to the mojo potato that we used to do when I'd go to Shakey's all-you-can-eat. That was always a great look. Four guys from North Hollywood. Average age 17 and a half. Only one of them's going for the bunch of lunch. The other three are just going to sit in a half circle around them in the back of the restaurant.
Keeping them company.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I like to watch my friends eat. Phone line's lighting up. Right,
now, but you're the one that says get to racial profiling.
Mm-hmm.
When Opie Taylor here walks in with a platinum card and his well-dressed date, you can be fairly confident I'm not going to go for an extra $3 worth of sushi at my own peril.
Well, yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
God's sakes, you're white.
They don't have any idea that I'm a real thief. I think I'm any customer.
I could do several hundred hours on the rules that were put in place to prevent something
that calls you a name.
Well, that just like here's my greatest example of that when I used to work in sort of downtown doing earthquake rehab on condemned apartment buildings with junkies and everything. It was a horrible job. One of the big problems is we couldn't find a place to park. There was no parking. We'd park on the street, but everyone had to scramble out on Tuesday at 10 a.m. because right. the street sweeper would come between 10 and noon. You notice all the big windows everyone has, the cable guys, the street sweeper. Your life is down to the minute. Nobody has a job where you go, I show up between 6 a.m. and say 10 or noon yeah. or something. And then, I show up at 12:15 every day. The street sweeper passed at 11:45. You could see the wet tracks. We all went to move our cars back in so we could continue working. And the guy came out and he said, I'm writing you a ticket. And I said, why? And he said, because it's between 10 and noon and it's 11:47. I said, but for street sweeper and the street sweeper, you can see the wet tracks. It just went by. I said, I don't care. It's before noon.
It's a penalty, buddy. For the street sweeper.
Yes, it goes against the spirit of the law.
Oh, my right, it does. God.
The spirit of the law is just to open the streets so that the street cleaner can clean it.
Hey, you know what my new one is now? At Starbucks, where I think you can look like you're fairly smart musically, because I'm not. You know, if I can tap my toe, it's the best song ever. But you can get Norah Jones does so-and-so and Frank Sinatra does this, and you look smart. You know what I don't like?
What?
They now say, this box is empty. Ask hostess or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, again, they've called me a thief.
Oh, now really? Said,
well, we know you'll steal
this. Oh, yeah, right.
I hate that.
Yeah, you get the empty box. It's always weird when you used to rent movies, you'd bring the empty box up to the thing, and then sometimes they wouldn't have it. The box got out there sometimes.
Yeah.
Hey, Frank.
Good job. Hi, Frank.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's happening, Frank, from Fresno?
Mr. Kroba, very dapper on the Jim Rohn and his Bernie show.
Yeah, he was. I can't believe I got a chance to see that. You were great.
Well, thanks, Danny. I put a tie on, yes.
Yes, you did.
Well, they told me to. They said this is what people wear.
Frank is delighted.
I know you were great because I don't have any idea what you were talking about, and I was entertained the entire time.
Well, thank you. Same here.
It's all Frank, new, off-the-cuff material. Very impressive.
Thanks, Brian.
Frank?
Yeah. Warmed over sloppy seconds, as Brian called it yesterday.
I saw one or two, but what the hell? You were great, man.
Thank you.
Come on, Frank, spit it out, goddammit.
What do you got?
I hate going to the store because, you know, men don't like to shop.
Right.
And, you know, you go in, get what you got to get, and get out. Well, these fools will stop in the middle of the aisle, want to talk, and just, you know, block your way and this and that. You know, I just mow them down.
Yeah, all right. I'm gonna put a finer point on that, which is the people that don't feel space. They don't feel others. They don't feel people on them, and they don't feel space. They walk down the center of the aisle. They walk very slowly. There are people sort of stacking up behind them. Right about the time people are stacking up, they'll stop and slowly, they'll just, you ever do a thing where you're trying to walk past somebody and they don't feel you? They're sort of in their own. These are the close cousins of the people that have the really loud cell phone conversations. Like, you, is there not a part of you that feels uncomfortable that people in a 70-foot radius can hear you having an intimate conversation with somebody on the phone? Yes, just the people that are generally unaware. It's not a conscious effort to be inconsiderate. It's that's what they end up being. Right. They can't help it. Yeah, they walk like on the road. There's the stripe that runs down the middle, and then there's this traffic, and then there's that traffic. There is an imaginary stripe in aisles,
of course,
in lines, and ATMs. There's the people that just sort of ignore that, and they just like to plow down the center medium. Let's see.
I want to run down these phones, but boy, you've really started something with all of us.
Shopping carts and parking spaces, jelling my peanut butter jar. Rich guys that don't charge, huh? Plates? Uh-oh. Wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
Who's that? Me? Let me talk to this guy. Hey, Rowdy?
Yeah, Adam, how you doing, buddy?
What do you got?
Well, it just kind of annoys me, you know. I know you were saying about the mask and all, and I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But I see all these guys with these new cars, and they don't put their plates on. I don't get it.
Yeah, smart. That's what I'm doing.
That's what I'm doing.
I've seen that several times, and I'm just going, Well, wait a minute. Where's his plates?
Yeah, here's a great tip for everybody. Keep those cardboard dealer plates on your car as long as humanly possible.
You got to keep your car looking relatively clean to do it for as long as you really want to do it. But no, dude, you don't need a rich guy. Remember I was kidding about the Yugo? You go buy yourself a brand new Yugo and keep that dealer plate on, and they won't pull you over or give you a parking ticket for quite a while. You don't have to be rich. You just have to be smart.
Yeah.
Or lazy.
Yeah, I got my plates 5 months ago. Yeah.
Now, what's the benefit of doing that you can't get?
Well, I'll tell you, for instance, I don't like a front license plate because I don't like the chicken ass ticket with the camera in the intersection.
Right.
So I don't have a front license plate on my car. I was driving through Santa Monica and I saw a motorcycle cop spot me coming at him. He was driving the other way. Motorcycle cops just hand out chicken ass tickets. That's what they do all day. When a motorcycle cop pulls you over, you're getting a ticket because that's what they do.
That's what they do.
They've
had to get off their bike. Now they're not. There's no wind. So that leather jacket and bulletproof vest, they're hot and uncomfortable now. They weren't a second ago when they were doing 80.
So the guy's coming toward me. And we have car contact, not eye contact,
gotcha.
Bumper contact.
Yeah.
He, eye to bumper contact. He looks and I see him look at me, see my car, see that I have no front license plate on my car. Then I watch him go past me in my rear view and I see him whip around. I wasn't speeding. I wasn't driving erratically. He whipped around. When he whipped around, he saw the dealer plate. And then just drove past me and turned and went the other way.
Exactly.
So keep that dealer plate on your car as long as possible. As a matter of fact, if and when I get pulled over, eventually I'm going to get some sort of summons, some sort of something.
Yeah.
I'll put the plate on and then I'm going to change it back to the dealer plate.
Yeah.
Because what you do is then you put the regular license plate on, you go to the sheriff's or whatever, you get them to sign off on it. Go home, take it off, put the dealer plate back on, and get yourself another good 6-8 months of motoring out of it. I don't think they're going to know when you go and put it back.
So that's
what I'm going to do.
Here's a quick one. Now, I talk a tough game, but I really have given up any kind of physical violence because, A, I'm getting too old and mature, I hope, but it's expensive. People know I have a little money now. And in L.A., you smack a guy, his lawyer hits him, catches him before he hits the ground. But you know who I think you should still be able to hit, and maybe I will? Walking through a mall, either Glendale Galleria or Hollywood and Highland, they both have them. Some guy from a country of unknown origin has a tube of something that's good for your skin, whether it smooths it or buffs it. And they say, hey, try some of this stuff. And you go, no, thank you. And I get weird about this because I know in advance how much I hate them. And they say, no, and they get a little closer. And I say, do not touch my skin. Like that.
You mean like the guy hits you with the perfume, except for they hit you with the cream.
It's a solid.
Yeah.
And then you get next to them. As you go by, they run a straight line of a cream down your arm, and now it has to be rubbed in or rubbed off. And I have taken to, how do you know what I'm allergic to, man? I told you no. How do I know that's not poison? Where are you from? Show me your passport.
Oh, no.
Dude, I go off.
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar.
It's all fine until show me your passport.
Hey, man, I don't know what that guy's got. What that last guy have in his shoes?
All right. Shoe bombers.
You're two shades darker than me, and you put a cream on my flesh in a public place? What if it's C4?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
Mosques and the fragrance counter at Estee Lauder.
Right.
The two places the terrorists go to congregate.
Yeah. All right.
We need to take ourselves a break. I want to continue this. We got a lot of phone calls. People are fired up. I can get just as fired up about your cause as I can about my own. 866-901-ADAM. The little things that piss you off. We'll do that next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. With his notes on this morning's show, it's our program director, Jack Silver.
Pack a lunch, school's in, suckers. Today, actor and comedian David Alan Greer. The star of the new film Superbad, Jonah Hill. And the Ace Man's gonna count down his best rants of the week on This Week in Rage. Hey, Jack Man's got a similar list. I call it This Week in Underage. It's more like a to-do list if you get my drift.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, the little things that add up, those are the things I want to know about. What bugs you? I started with what bugs me. Danny slipped one in. T?
Well, I hate to say it, but I think I'm the person that bugs people. I think I do the annoying little things, like it in with my ex. Mm-hmm. I would, this is what bugged him. You know the microwave popcorn? And mm-hmm. the little plastic, the individuals, I would take it off, and then I would leave the plastic on the counter, mm-hmm. and that would make him apoplectic. I'd also do the slice the tomatoes on the cutting board, mm-hmm. and then maybe not wipe it down, and the little
seeds. I wish you were dead.
Harden.
It's weird because the little seeds are epoxied to the wood,
yeah.
more so. There's nothing that came out of a NASA lab that can do better than a little tomato yeah. snot to adhere those seeds.
I know,
seeds.
They should use that with the shuttle.
The mucus evaporates. oh, and they are. I like when people give you that answer. Oh, believe me, they thought of it.
No,
I think they know what they're doing.
I'll tell you this. I profusely sweat the big stuff, but these little things don't get to me because I'm so busy profusely sweating the larger questions.
I don't have a lot of, people's idiosyncratic behavior doesn't usually bother me, but we're talking the other day and in many, many occasions before about how you don't know who to trust anymore because you're not sure if you're dealing with the super bright, super sharp waitress when you say no mayo.
Yes.
Or the one I normally get when I say no mayo that gets me extra mayo. So now we live in a society where I talk to everyone like a retarded puppy.
Right.
And can we have no mayo on that BLT? And sweetie, please, that means no mayo. I'm allergic to mayo. Please, I would like a void of mayo, an absence of mayo. I got to post it. I'm going to stick this to your forehead, okay? I'm going to staple it to your forehead. It says no mayo, but I'm going to write it backwards so that if you look at it in the mirror, it'll say no mayo to you instead of oyo mom or whatever it reads. Like, that's how I do, except for I do that with the super sharp person that gets punished too. I had Ray called me last night, my buddy Ray, and he did that one where he goes, hey, man, when I was at your house the other day, did I leave my code book over there? I guess it's some book that has, like, building codes in it. And I said, no, not here. I didn't leave it in the kitchen? No, I wasn't in the kitchen. I haven't seen anything. No. It's not on the counter? See?
Oh, no.
I have that thing where I have to say no to people 8 times after my initial no. The wife does that to me all the time. Did you lock that back door? Yes, I did. So it's locked? I don't answer. Now, the good move is I don't physically answer. I just sit there and don't say anything. It trains people.
Yeah.
Trains people not do it, but I do it and other people do it too. Ray asked 9 times in 9 different ways if his book was at my house. I told him no 13 times, but it wasn't good enough for him. That's the way we now are. I don't think that took place back in the day. I don't think anyone said to Ben Franklin, so did I leave my quill over at your place, Ben? No, you didn't. You sure? No. Did you check the entry hall? Yes, I checked. Yeah,
wasn't
Ben.
A feather with a really feather. Pointy end, Ben.
Yeah, it had. I used it to draft documents. Dip it in ink. Right. I heard you. It's not here. Really, Ben? Hey, Ben. Why don't you go check? How about that? How about that super annoying one where you go? The guy goes, "Hey, did you leave my cell phone at your house?" You go, "No, it's not here." And they go, "Go check."
Yeah.
By the way, where do you go check when you've already told them right. It wasn't there? I'm going to pull up the carpet and pull off the plaster in the ceiling, see if someone tucked it up in there. All right, let's see.
But Teresa's, I pushed my microphone away because I don't want to add any. We had so many good calls. But you're one with the leaving the plastic out drives the boy crazy.
Yeah.
And the chopping old and leaving the chopping board out.
Mm-hmm.
My wife comes home, and I've left the hooker passed out in the living room.
Yeah.
She just scoops her on up and throws her on out. The plastic wrap ain't going to do anything to throw a bonnet. You got to get a tougher guy.
But, yeah.
I have. This one would not be annoyed. But I try not to do things that I know are annoying. Like, when you talked about your wife pushing the seat all the way back, I now do that.
Beautiful.
If I borrow Dominic's car, I push the seat back.
That's and he's a tall drink of yeah. water. He needs that seat back. Danny?
Yeah.
Caller Danny, what is what is your minor annoying problem?
I absolutely hate it when I go to the shopping store or go to the grocery store like Best Buy or any store like that where they have shopping carts and it's packed and you're looking for a spot and any open spot that there is, it has a shopping cart in it.
Yes. There is something, I don't know what is so difficult about getting out of your car and not getting further than 18 feet from your car, but it's horrible. I can jump out of my car and run back into my house and then come back into my car without a problem. But if you set something just in front of my bumper, it's like, oh, good Christ, I'll just run it over. Oh, you know what? I'll back out and I'll back all the way through downtown L.A. to not get out of my car. It's weird. The closer the thing is in proximity to my car, the bigger the pain in the ass is. I would get out and move the shopping cart that was in the next state. But if it's right in front of my car, it's like, maybe I can slowly drive into it. And if the wheels are facing the right way, I can just sort of plow it into the next space or something.
I have all the time.
Yes, here's the problem with that. I'm the same way. You never leave a shopping cart in the middle of a space. You don't do that. The problem is they have wheels, and sometimes you push it off to one side, and then someone else pushes it there. Those receptacles for the shopping carts, those should have big orange flags on them. They're hard to find in the vast parking lot, and the guy who collects them, it's catch as catch can. Some places have that guy that's pushing the 70 cart wagon train up the hill. I love that gig. The guy's just built like a badger. He's leaned over at a 90 degree angle and he's just pushing 70 carts.
Yeah.
Other places don't have that guy, so you don't know what to do with it. But either way, there should be a Geneva Convention of carts. It's unspoken that you move it out of the space.
Right.
All right.
I noticed something interesting about our calls of people annoyed with little things. They're all men except for one so far.
Well, we'll talk to the one that isn't. Ken?
This is Ken.
Oh, Ken the dude?
Wait a minute.
Oh, Melinda, yeah. We'll talk to her in a second. What's up, Ken?
Hey, road cyclists. Okay, you know you're driving down the road, and these guys, they think they're in friggin' Europe. And they're riding in the middle of the lane. They ride three wide. They're tight spandex.
I know.
And, you know, they, so obnoxious. Why are you having to be in your way?
Listen.
Especially on single lane roads.
This touches on many different beefs with me. One is the workout, the look at me workout guy.
Yeah.
Half the cyclists I see look like they're sponsored. Now. No, Danny does his working out, but he does it in a gym. He's not one of these guys. You ever see these guys? These guys that go jogging down Ventura Boulevard at 5:30 in the afternoon with their shirts off. And it's like, you have picked the most congested, hottest time in the day to go jogging. You're jogging down Ventura Boulevard. It's bumper to bumper traffic. You are sucking up more carbon monoxide and more just airborne, whatever. Just the actual stuff that gets into the air when 2,000 cars go by at 30 miles an hour. Imagine how many airborne particles you're sucking in and how much exhaust you're sucking in and how hot it is versus 7 in the morning or 8 o'clock the night. Or how about this? Here's a wild idea. There's a whole bunch of scenic side streets with nicely paved sidewalks and no traffic that run parallel to Ventura Boulevard. Nope. Your shirt's out. It's wrapped up. It's stuffed in your shorts. And you're heading right down into oncoming traffic so everybody who's driving home can see that you have washboard abs and no job. I don't like that guy, and I don't like the guys that look like they're riding for the Cinzano team heading up and down my street all day. They're Lycra, one-piece unitards, helmets. They look like they're sponsors. They look like, really, like they're on the circuit, like they got lost on the Tour de France, and they're going past my house. They want to be seen. They love the bike. They love the equipment. They love the special shoes, and they love the one-piece unitard. I know for a fact that 3/4 of the people that are into cycling for exercise are into the equipment. They love the look. You never see a guy anymore in cutoffs and flip flops who's cycling. That dude is a drug addict.
Yeah. That is a dealer.
That
He's
dude's not a cyclist.
By a house, right.
Yes. That's not called his bicycle. That's called his car. That's all he has. He's going to score. I love that guy. Yes, that guy. And the same guy who rides in the middle of the street, and this was Ken's beef. He rides in the middle of the street and does that. Hey, we have the same right to. No, you know why you don't have the same right? Because Bonaducci is driving 7,000 pounds worth of Nissan Armada. He's hopped up on Red Bull and he can barely see over the dash. That's why you don't have the same right to the road. Oh, technically, you're right.
If you want it.
Right. Yeah, It'll be a nice story for the coroner.
Please don't tell the people at the Cerritos Nissan, but have you seen both sides of that giant ass Armada?
Yes.
Those are remnants of bicyclists.
I thought I saw a Cinzano hat.
I have just as much. That'll be the last thing you think while I think, did I hit a squirrel? Yeah. That'll be the last thing going through your mind when Bonaducci goes right over the top of you with a bevy full of 19-year-olds in the back of the Armada. The last thing going through your mind will be, I have just as much right to this road as Bonaducci does.
You know what I just thought of, though? I'm pretty sure as long as they're dressed up in that suit, I'd kill a bicyclist for a fleet of 19-year-olds in my Armada.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's worth it. Yeah.
Okay. Melinda?
Yes?
What's your beef? What's your quip?
My beef is going to buy a six-pack of beer in the state of California, you have to put it in a bag. And they say it is to detour juveniles from shoulder tapping. And it's already in a carton. It's already got a handle. Have to put it in a bag. And if I'm stupid enough to sell juveniles that are shoulder tapping outside, I think that's kind of my problem.
Now, is shoulder tapping like finger popping?
No. Hey, mister, will you buy me a beer?
Can I buy the beer you already have?
Buy the beer from the person?
No, they want you, underage, want you to go in and buy beer for them. Here's my money. Go in and get me some beer.
All right. But why? I don't understand why putting in a bag.
Beer, they think, okay, they know you're 21, you know, that kind of thing.
I know. And all finger popping. We never stop talking about natural resources, and that could be another thing I could do a half hour on, where I tell the person, I don't want a bag. You know, you go to the store and you just buy a sack of flour and they want to put it in another sack and you're like, I'm all right, because I'm just going to go home and throw it away. And they're like, nah, take it anyway. And you're like, I'm cool. I can carry the six pack. No, put it in a bag. Yeah, how many millions of bags get wasted every year just because you're forced to put something with a handle in it, for Christ's sake? It's actually much more rewarding to carry a six-pack via the handle that's built into the cardboard six-pack holder than it is to drag it by the bag. It's not as fun, and then you get home and throw it out.
Yes.
Good point.
Good point.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
It's why I drink mine in the store.
Hey, guys.
Good times there, Melinda.
Actually, I've been known to do that. When I was quitting drinking, when I wasn't really quitting drinking, I'd say, honey, you want to wait in the car and I'll go get you a Coke? And I'd run in and I'd buy two or three little airplane bottles, buy them, then hope the guy wouldn't scream at me, go to the corner of the store, chug them both, run up and say, please throw these out for me, and then go look for her Diet Coke.
What are they even selling those airplane bottles for anymore?
Me.
Oh, they're just selling them.
To put in your pocket, people want to work?
100% of the people who buy those probably have drinking problems.
Yeah. Put them in your drawer at work.
There's no guy that says, hey, look, my daughter's getting married this weekend. I need 200,000 miniature Smirnoff bottles. I mean, you're not throwing a party. You're not throwing a barbecue.
No. You're only buying like two or three or whatever I can hide in my boots.
Or
but I have an angle for everything. If the guy behind the counter at the time, because I have never been on television or anything and said I'm sober when I was not. Mm-hmm. But there were no cameras there when I fell off the wagon to say, oh, I'm back again. Sorry.
Right.
Why would you do something like that with no cameras around? You know better.
Because you give me some cameras whenever I happen to want to drink. I'll film it. Believe me, baby. I got an idea for a show where I go gay. Okay? I don't care. Roll the cameras. But
set the
when,
table for that.
When, a, when the liquor store guy recognizes me and goes, I thought you were sober. Do you know what I say? I say, I look at him with disdain, and I say, I am, but I'm having company, and they get one drink each, and I will not have alcohol left over in my house. Thank you.
Good one.
I'm
good.
Ready all the time. Day, sir!
Me, myself, and I are coming over tonight. Let's
I'm
see.
I'm having company. I'm having my liver over.
Do you see now why Teresa is personally responsible for giving me the pill?
Pill. Jeff.
So I don't get pregnant either.
Jeff, you say, Jeff says a 10-minute limit at the porn shop.
Oh, is that right?
I don't know. Jeff?
Yes, sir. Hey, Danny, love you.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
There's a 10-minute limit at the porn shop?
Yeah, some of the ones in Hollywood, they go in, and I guess a lot of the vagrants go in there, and they like a 10-minute limit to looking at 700 titles of porn, you know?
Oh, I see. You can't browse all the live long day in there.
Right. I see what he means.
I want to, but I want to get, you know, get a good lesbian porn one, you know?
Yeah, right. Hey, Jeff.
Don't care for lesbian porn, by the way.
This is one of those beefs you should probably keep under your tattered cap. I don't feel like it's first date material, you know?
Yeah.
When she's like...
What bothers you when people eat with the wrong
she's like,
fork?
My old husband used to always leave the toilet seat up, and at night I would sit on that. Oh, yeah? Well, when I'm trying to loiter at the porn shop, and the guy treats me like I'm homeless when in fact I live in my car. Yeah. Oh, I take my my top hat and my spats and I say good day as I grab my Where the Boys Aren't 69 and head toward the register.
I almost had to leave. I was at the Hustler store with Amy just a few days ago. I told you, I spent $250 and we're at the toy aisle and a tattooed but hot girl comes up and says, can I help you? And soup, almost over normal voice. And I said, no, I think we're okay. And she goes, well, but this is my personal favorite because this bend right here hits that spot. Mm-hmm. And then Amy, who is really shy, just starts talking about it. And they get into the conversation about what makes one toy better than the other. And I thought I was going to finish. And Amy is, like, super shy. And this one broke her down so fast, and they talked about the differences. And mm-hmm. so I just went and looked in the Asian aisle with Adam.
I got another idea. So we got to take a break. But this reminded me, we'll take some more phone calls on this. Because we put the calls out yesterday for my lady listeners who watched gay porn, and the phones lit up. I was surprised. Yeah. I was surprised at what percentage of women had fellas that wanted a little backdoor action, even though they were straight. Teresa was not surprised. No. We were. Danny and I are living in the 70s. Here's something that has become commonplace. It seemed like 25 years ago, there were a handful of women that had vibrators. They hid them in a shoebox, and they put them on an upper shelf, and they never let anyone see them, and they never talked about them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, you get a group of 25-year-old girls together, and there's six of them, and five and a half of them have vibrators and speak openly
about
it. When I was in high school,
that would have
been crazy taboo. Like if there was a chick who said, yeah, I got a vibrator, it would be tantamount to you admitting you murdered somebody.
I was going to say, it'd be tantamount to somebody walking in while you're pleasuring yourself when you're a teenager. There's nothing more mortifying. Well, Amy, not only got her first one, dig this, before I met her, from Consumer Reports.
Really?
It was rated number one. It's a boring looking little thing. It's like a round, not that big.
Yeah. Oh, well,
rated the best vibrator.
The picture
of it's this big. It's for that. And it was rated by Consumer Reports.
Hold on a second. On the picture of the box that it came in, it had the chick wearing the towel, putting it on the back of her neck, though, right?
It did not. She's at my house right now if you want to call and ask her.
So you asked
that. Jesus, Consumer Reports?
I get a vibrator that hasn't been rated number one.
I couldn't believe it because it's a boring little nothing thing, but you couldn't reach your back of your neck with it. It's only 3 inches long.
It's not meant for
that.
I mean, but here's what I'm saying. Do you know how they call hash pipes tobacco pipes?
Yes, because you have to.
They make them to smoke pot, but they sell them like you might want to smoke tobacco out of them. This is made for the cooch, but they say this is a personal vibrator. Consumer Reports.
So you want to hear from women who openly discuss their sex toys?
I don't know anyone who doesn't anymore.
I want to know the ones that have one.
The rabbit, the reach around.
All my friends have the rabbit. Everyone's got the rabbit.
Tickle Me Elmo now is Tickle My Anus. They've got, it's crazy.
I don't, wow.
I just want to hear from the ones that have them and what they have. And I want to know if it's as prevalent as I now think it is. Does everyone have one? And do all your friends talk about it? Are they that open about it?
They give it as gifts.
Yes.
To each other. Yeah.
You would have turned a woman's face beet red if back in the day they were at a party and they opened it up and pulled the rabbit out of the hat.
Right.
So
this started with Sex in the City, if you ask me.
Maybe. Okay. We'll take a quick break. We'll hear from the ladies, and I'm going to look into this Consumer Reports thing next.
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, Adam. Love the show. Just wondering, you know how you did the bit on, talking to Nicole Richie's fetus? Those two doofuses, Mark and Brian, hell, they're ripping the bit off. You believe that? Oh, well, can't come up with anything original.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
I appreciate it, but I've had it happen way too many times where I said, hey, man, we should do a thing where we put a picture of the president up there and then we put someone else's mouth and then someone raised their hand and goes, Conan's been doing that for 5 years. And I go, really?
Yeah.
I've never seen it. And then everyone else in the room goes, oh, yeah. And then I just realize, oh, that's right. We're all human beings. Yeah. We're
right.
Trying to write jokes and we come up with the same retarded ideas.
Sometimes people do, in fact, steal. But sometimes I wrote a show that was so exact. I took it to my agent. And I screamed. I was suing. And how were the lawyers? And they go, Danny, how do you know they stole it? I said, I saw it on TV last night. And she said, well, where have you pitched the show? And I said, no place. And I realized, oh, that means they had it a year ago.
Right.
I stole their show.
Yeah, everything you see on TV is probably 2 years old, at least in the idea form. All right, speaking of ideas, we're talking about vibrators. The phone lines have now lit up. Everybody has a vibrator. Pops Corolla didn't know that everyone had a vibrator.
Oh, my God.
And certainly didn't know that every guy wanted it used on them as well.
I still don't know that. And I told Aim, or any girl I've told, I'll do anything you want me to do that won't physically hurt me. Anything. You know, if you want to humiliate me and it doesn't hurt, it doesn't make me sick to my stomach, like eating dog food or something like that, I won't do that. But anything you want to do that doesn't hurt, I'll do that for you if it gets you off, and I hope you'll do the same for me.
Right.
But the back end is a hygiene area for me.
Okay.
Carla? Yeah,
hello.
I agree.
Yeah. I hear you.
Carla, what's going on?
Nothing, just driving home from work.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to you guys every morning. Love the show.
Thank you.
I want this call. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just driving home from work, you know, and I'm talking about my vibrator.
Well, Carla, do you have a vibrator?
Of course she does.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. And you say that the sex toy parties are as common as the old Tupperware parties our moms used to go to?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to, like, two of them when I was in the military, and this lady just comes in and you host the party, and you get free stuff the more people buy stuff.
Yeah, I figured this.
Do they test them out at the party?
Well, she actually has, you can buy them on the spot. She has, like, samples and everything.
Yeah,
you can do, like, little samples of, like, the stuff that's tingly that you can put on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, but they do not. What Adam's question was, do they show you how they work physically? And no, they don't.
Do you get to take it around the block? There's no floor models.
No, there's no. You know how I believe to try on underwear, girls have to wear a panty liner or something
like
that?
Yeah, you're not supposed to try it on.
You don't get to use anything you insert and then say, no, I don't like it.
I'll tell you the most humiliating part about buying one of these things is having the doofus behind the counter who stands on the 3-foot riser. I guess they have to do that at porn shops so they can see what's going on. He must put a couple of C-cell batteries in it and fire
Make
it up.
Sure it works. Right. Yeah.
Because there ain't no returns, although I was in a porn store once where a guy was attempting to return one, and he was adamant about it. But it was as if he was talking about a toaster that didn't work, and he was on the floor of some Best Buy, and it was like, buddy, here's how much did it cost? $20? Yeah. Here.
Yeah.
Please. Where's your dignity? For Christ's sake. The guy's like, now listen, I bought this vibrator and I took this vibrator home and I fired it up and it did not work. It's like, buddy, come on. You got to eat this one. If I bought porn over the internet and the next day, and the next 2 days later, a package showed up and there was a brick in it, I wouldn't return it.
Right.
I would be that freaked out and embarrassed, and I would look at it as a sign from God. We need to take ourselves a quick break. We're trying to get out near the top of the hour these days, but we have many more of your phone calls to deal with regarding this topic, plus a very intimate story from Teresa Strasser involving the same topic. We'll do that next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning, Adam's main man, David Alan Greer, some classic calls from the Crank Anchor's Vault, and Superbad's Jonah Hill. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, good times. We're just talking about vibrators. Why not?
Why not?
Because I've started hanging out with younger people, so these younger girls. So, when I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have one. They have them for special occasions. And like I said, I go out with a teacher, and Adam didn't believe that when she did it on Consumer Report rated number one, he has in his head a girl massaging her neck, right?
Mm-hmm.
My 25-year-old is on the phone,
mm-hmm.
and she will be happy to tell you what it was rated and why.
Yeah, I thought I knew. See, there was a time when you could get yourself a vibrator, and they didn't want to call it a vibrator. They called it a personal massager, and they showed the lady. It was always in the towel.
Yeah.
That suggested something was up. Easy access. They put it on the back of her neck. We all knew it wasn't going on the back of her neck.
If you put my personal massager in a box, she'd be furious.
But Amy?
Hi.
Hi, honey.
Good to speak to you, my dear.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Dan. Oh, you're talking to Amy.
Hey, she's scared. She's shy.
Amy, yeah, this is a,
this is a big move for her.
It's a big move. So you say you went on to Consumer Reports.
That's when you answer.
Right. Well, it was a few years ago, so I don't remember exactly what it said. But the thing is, if it didn't say that it was for climaxing, it was rated comparing it against, like, the Rabbit and the other vibrators. So it's obvious what it was for.
So what model is this that's supposedly superior to the Great Rabbit?
No, I don't think it's superior to the Rabbit. I think for the price range it is, because Danny would know that the Rabbit's, like, $100 or something like that. And I wasn't willing to pay that.
More cost effective.
And worth every goddamn penny.
See, I've never used any of these. I've never tried the Rabbit. Amy, is it that great?
No, we got a different one that was, I don't know if it's a knockoff or something like that. We had the Rabbit, and it wasn't as good as the other one that we got to replace it. The other one looks like the Star Wars lifesaver ones, and it's better.
Yeah, and the thing, instead of looking like a rabbit, kind of looks like the front end of a duck-billed platypus.
Uh-huh.
A knockoff.
Is there one with an ashtray built in for Dan?
Well, there in a way, because some of them.
Yeah. For his Red Bull?
I don't like these because I like to be right there and cozy, but you can get the same exact model we got, which is amazing. She actually said, because it has 21 speeds. Mm. And we hit one of them, and she said, oh, my God, I can't do that one. I can't take that. But there's the same one. With a 10-foot extension cord and the power, I could sit across the room.
With a remote.
Yeah.
And just zap the bejesus out of her.
Does it have mute? Because a lot of guys would want that for me.
There's no pillow that comes with it?
I mean, 4 months ago, first of all, it took me 3 weeks to even get physical with her. She's, like I said, a shy girl.
Yeah.
But within the next 3 months, she has stuff you have to pull, like a Black and Decker, to get her going.
Right. Oh.
I like the Amorous, but does her homework.
I like that.
You know what I mean? Little Madonna, little whore, all mixed into one. On Consumer Reports.
And you know what's cool? She knows you don't mean the singer and a bad thing. She knows the exact Madonna whore complex. Yeah.
But I could just see her, this one, going, well, this butt plug got 2 solid red circles. I think that's excellent. Now, the anal eliminator, that had 3 black circles. That's bad. It was the lowest. And in the side impact test,
well, Amy,
not farewell.
Have you looked up, like, the best lube?
No, I didn't. I only looked up the best vibrator.
Can you get on that?
No, she's got it.
The only one I ever had. So I didn't know what I was doing. And I don't know. I look in Consumer
Reports
for other stuff.
Like any big ticket item, it's a commitment.
Yeah. It's cute.
It's a durable good.
Well, Amy, here's my big question. The reason I've never gotten involved with this.
You must have a vibrator.
No, I never have. Never had one.
Oh, my God. You are sick.
I would be worried that then I would get addicted to it and I'd need it.
No, that's not true, though. It just makes it easier when you're by yourself. That's what I think.
Right.
I don't think it makes it harder if you're with somebody else.
And if you really want, an education, actually, it doesn't take up so much room that you can't get around it and help it with your hands or any other part of your body. Mm-hmm. You can take it out of her hands and control it. It's a, because 99% of women do not climax from actual intercourse anyway. So there's all sorts of busy work going on down there.
99? I look at that as a conservative estimate. I'm like 103%.
I don't know. I'm an old-fashioned girl.
Orgasms. Hey, Amy.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Thank you, honey. That was very brave of you.
That was.
Yeah.
And that little toy last night, the new thing, I thought that rocked. Did you like that?
Yeah, I like the smaller one better, though.
All right. Oh, that's good for me.
Now get back to molding the youth of America.
Once you're done straightening up the house.
Well, quickly, my horrifying story. The one thing I did have was I dated this one guy, not the current guy or even the one before. He was 3 guys ago, just to be totally clear.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Because nobody wants this story about themselves out. No man.
Mm-hmm.
So he seemed completely normal. Not that guy either. Mm-hmm. He seemed completely normal. If you saw him, you'd go, that's just a big white guy. He's normal. Mm-hmm. Television writer. And he was interested in having stuff back in the...
Yeah, I've heard about that. I don't get it.
in the Brownsville jail?
No, Saint Keister.
In the caboose. Mm-hmm. So at first, I wanted to be the girl that was going to do anything to please. And so I thought, I'm going to be the cool girl that isn't freaked out because he wants to try it. But then that's all he wanted. And I started to get kind of freaked out and it started to be a little dark. And then
you're going to wash
it. This is very early for this story. But then he didn't want it gently. You. He didn't want it gently.
Oh.
Okay. Okay, now.
Not go gently into this good
and
night.
That's not the disturbing part, okay?
Oh, so then,
yes, it is.
Hold on. Then we break
there
up.
There may be other disturbing parts.
Then we break up.
That is one of the disturbing parts.
Now, we've broken up, and now I've got to return his things. It's the returning of the items, the post-breakup returning of the items.
Oh, you should return it to his mom.
He's got some CDs and some shirts and, you know, some whatever, various things.
How do you
things.
Get the shirts up there?
That he's left in my house. And now I've got this ethical dilemma. Do I return this? I guess it was a dildo, you
mm-hmm.
call it.
Mm-hmm.
Do yes. I return it back? It's not mine. He paid for it.
Absolutely.
But clearly.
Hold on. Whatever. You know, there's a certain set of rules for the American flag.
Right.
You have to fold it in yeah. such a way. It must be lit. Right. It's going to be up. Otherwise, right. you take it down. It's sun up and all and sundown and yeah, all right, that kind of stuff. Same rules to the dildo. I mean, a little different, but there needs to be a set of
right.
rules.
Right.
A ceremonial Viking burning. There's no returning. There's no using on new boyfriend right. or girlfriend.
Burn.
There's a disposal. It has
right.
to be. It's somewhere between the American flag and lead-based, oil-based paint that you have at your house. You don't just chuck it.
Well,
no, you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, okay. Right. I'm with medical
waste.
I
had to discuss it
with
my one friend who I told about this, and I didn't know what to do because I really want to do the right thing, and it belonged to him. But when I think back on it, it was clearly a passive-aggressive move. It was like saying, here you go, perv.
But, yeah.
Either way.
Let's take your dildo back.
Either way.
Ram it up your ass.
You putting it in the potato gun and firing it through his parents' living room window was, in hindsight, being 2020,
yeah.
probably a little bit passive-aggressive.
Grandparents.
You stabbing his grandmother
with it was
probably not the most appropriate way to return something like that.
Imagine him opening the bag and going, oh, my t-shirt, my CD.
Oh, look, I have egg on my face. And spaghetti.
Good
but he was
times.
Straight, a straight guy.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I personally don't get that.
He's married
now. I personally
now.
Don't get that, but that's just, I don't feel I'm ever clean enough. You know what I mean? Right yeah. out of the shower. I don't want anybody, you know, playing with that. I would do it if it didn't hurt.
Look, there's no way you can ever get clean enough because you can take your car yeah. to 1,000 car washes. You're never going to get to the gunk that's in the oil pan.
Right.
Oh, no. My girls can get clean enough. Girls,
inside?
No, but...
We all feel dirty. I'm sorry.
All right. No one likes that.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Let's see. Many boyfriends who enjoys this.
What about? Oh, Corey's got an interesting question.
All right. Hey, Corey.
Just one time.
Yeah.
You say Teresa's old fashioned.
Yeah. Yeah. Teresa just made a comment a little bit ago that she's an old fashioned girl, but I remember.
Sure.
A couple weeks ago, you admitted that you take it in the booty.
I did one time.
Please.
And you know what? I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this briefly, and maybe you guys have a different opinion. But the new guy, I did it once. All right. I tried it. I'm experimental. I'll try anything
God
once.
God bless you.
The new guy, who I'm pretty sure I'm going to marry,
uh-huh.
I think he's going to be the last guy I ever have sex with.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never done that.
Mm-hmm.
So don't I owe him one?
I think you do owe him
no.
one.
If he likes it and it doesn't really hurt you, you owe him once every 2 months.
No. One, and then we're done. One and done.
Okay, this kind of wrecked it for me, but just to give you an idea, my newest girlfriend, I'm tired of saying her name, my new girlfriend,
Amy,
is very shy about that time of the month.
Mm.
So she said, we can do something else if you want.
Oh, this show has hit a new low. Really.
The show has reached a new
How about
low.
Stickers
my
on fruit?
Feelings hurt and teeth that I had pulled.
Well, I am never going to get tired of this.
She had a red arrow on her right cheek.
Tell Danny to move on. Give me a break.
Yeah. Show. What about John?
Thank you.
Six?
Now I can sleep tonight.
Yeah, I can already see Jax.
Oh my God.
I can already
Jax
see.
Jax just exploded.
Jax Silver's Botox, permatan face as he comes through the front door, dripping Grecian formula.
I think he's happy as hell right now.
John? Well, if he is, I say he keeps it to himself when he comes into this room in 3 hours. John, what's happening?
Is this me? Hello?
Yes, this is you.
Is this the lonely fat chick hotline?
Oh,
what
John, what are we being bitter for, brother?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Because you don't get out.
Oh, you think the women calling in, you think only lonely fat chicks have vibrators?
Are you out of your mind?
That's the other thing. That's the other thing. Yes. It used to be for somebody who was widowed at 29 and packed on a bunch of grief weight or something. Right. Now, every hot chick, you know what it's like? Here's what it is.
It's emancipation. It's that's
the same.
What it is.
It's the same as tattoos.
Right.
30 years ago, here's who had here the females that had tattoos were the fat biker chicks.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Were the chicks with the triple D's and the triple E ass that were hanging off the back of some hog. Those were the chicks that had the Playboy tattoo on the boob. Yeah. Now hot chicks have tattoos. Right. Hot chicks, it took hot chicks a while to catch on to all the things that the fat chicks were doing, the biker chicks were doing, the tats, the vibrators, the open displays of sexuality and blah, blah, blah. Now they're all into it.
Yeah. Right.
This is the great day that we're living in.
It was John, was it? That just called, was it?
Yes.
Goes, listen, John, geek, the one that could rate a number one by Consumer Report is two inches long and as round as a D battery. And that's all you do is put on the end. The ones I've got, she got for me because they're so fun and outrageous. These aren't lonely girls. These are your best friggin' friends that will deliver this for you.
Sarah?
Yes.
You say what?
Well, I live with eight girls in college, and seven of us had vibrators.
Now, were you all fat and lonely, or is John just gay?
Oh, John's definitely gay. Definitely a homo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But
there were eight of you.
Eight of us in a house.
Seven had vibrators.
And one stole.
The eighth lost hers in Teresa's Beau's ass some years before. So it would have been eight for eight.
Had she, Jackson,
had she put a leash on that baby, it would be eight for eight. I use an ankle leash.
What about that sound that your cordless phone makes when you're trying to find it? You know, you press it.
Yeah, hit page.
Yeah, you know what you should get? You should get what? For your vibrator, you go like this.
Where is that whistle, though?
Get the clapper.
Well, that's why you get a vibrator, so you don't get the clapper.
Get the clapper. So, Sarah, you're saying it's very prevalent.
Oh, yeah. I actually had one on a keychain when I was stuck in traffic. I'd use it every once in a while.
Sure, why not?
Hey, Sarah, do you have...
The rocket pocket or the bullet, right?
I'm sorry?
For your keychain, was it the rocket the pocket rocket or the bullet?
You know what? To be honest with you, I don't remember
the name. Shaped like a small lipstick?
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
My quick
curved on the end.
Had to be great for the valet.
Sarah,
yes.
Do you and your girlfriends have the deal about who throws away each other's vibrators if anything happens to you?
No.
You should work that one out.
Good idea, though.
Thank you.
What a dark side you have.
You don't want that out when mom comes to get clean up your paperwork.
I had a roommate whose nightstand looked like just a bucket of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was literally like a movie set dresser did. It was handcuffs, a 44, and a vibrator. That was just in the drawer. That was just in the upper drawer. Pistol, handcuffs, and whatever. And we had the deal. That was on top of the nightstand. But the point is we had the deal before your God-fearing folks who've been together for 33 years, God bless them, make the pilgrimage out from Philly. I will do a little mopping up.
Yeah. You need to have that person. Yes.
What's funny is that I think the reason I keep saying over and over, if it doesn't hurt, I'll do it, because I wanted to come up with something, because I don't have any fetishes, and I want one.
I don't, a topic for another day, too, but I don't have any of those either.
No.
And I
want her to have one and say, will you do this for me so I can say yes?
Yeah, now, fetish, trying to think, like, I like a nice rack, but I don't look at that as a fetish.
No.
To me, a fetish, yeah, it's a preference. There's some guys that like dark women or like black women, still not a fetish. To me, a fetish is something that is sort of not sexual.
Spanking.
By nature,
hard.
That gets taken into the bedroom.
Right.
Yeah.
I have none of those.
Yeah.
Role playing.
Right.
That's just embarrassing.
Yeah, the stuff that is sexual that's taken into the bedroom, that just makes sense. That's a sort of progression. But the stuff where people like to watch chicks smash bugs in high heels, that's not a sexual act.
Not.
You've turned it into one. All right.
Shoes.
We'll get into that next show. T?
Yes.
What's coming up in the news, baby girl?
Well, somebody is trying to catch a predator.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They are under fire, and I will tell you why.
Ooh. I take it you're a virgin.
Ooh,
yeah.
I want to look. I'm very curious about this. All right, we'll do that next in the news.
kids.
This season of Hell's Kitchen may be over.
Can we have the team main course together?
But this fall, it's really gonna heat up.
I am here and I am glad to be here.
The producers of Hell's Kitchen and Road Trip with Huell Howser present...
What is it?
Fish tacos.
Huell's Kitchen.
It's just crap.
They were great.
It's really gonna cook.
Just stop. Stop.
Huell's Kitchen.
Take your jacket off and get out.
Well, after a great lunch, I've taken a hike.
This fall on Fox. Get fired up.
Get you on the stove.
For Huell's Kitchen.
It is hot, hot, hot.
Dag, my main man, has come in here. He's brimming with energy and raring to go. We'll talk to him.
Leave it a death row!
His many characters. Also, what else? Jonah. Jonah who? Jonah Hill from Badass. He's a star... Of Badass.
Super Bad.
Super Bad, sorry. It? Badass is a blaxploitation film from like the 70s.
So is Blackula, which I love.
It's out today. So I think it's out today, right? It's coming out today. So yeah. I've not seen it yet. I don't think anyone has, but it's getting great reviews. It's supposed to be great. We'll talk to Jonah Hill about that. But first, Teresa Strasser in the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Hopes were dimming for six trapped coal miners in Utah. But then last night, there was some encouraging and hopeful news. Rescue workers heard a noise deep inside the mine. It's not clear whether the noise, which lasted for about 5 minutes, was caused by a survivor of the collapse or simply by rubble falling in a mine shaft. Here, mine owner Bob Murray tells us a little more about the noises heard last night in the mine.
The sounds lasted about 5 minutes. And they were at a frequency of about a second and a half. It could be rapping, but, sir, we really don't know. And I wouldn't read too much into it yet. But it is hope. It is hope. And we're now setting up the drilling rig to drill right at where we heard those sounds in the earth. And we'll start the drilling at daylight. At the same time, sir, are reading the camera and the pictures we've taken in number three hole. They're just now being read, and we don't have all the results.
Does that guy ever sleep?
No.
I've taken to loving that guy. I thought he was such a blowhard at first and just saying what could get him out of trouble and putting in the name of his company, remember, in his first press conference. Now I've seen him, and he's there all the time looking more and more tired, and it's all about the families. I kind of love... I want to vote for this guy for something.
Yeah. Just not mine owner of the year.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Sheriff. Yeah.
Sheriff
moving on. Emily. Would have been nice if T's boyfriend moved on to the number three hole on occasion instead of hovering around number two hole all the time. But to each his own.
The X.
Three X's ago at the very minimum, maybe five.
Yeah, I don't know. They heard noises. That hardly is right. She said rapping as if there were, you know, signal or something. It still does not sound very good. All right, not that kind of rapping, jackass.
I'm down here in the mine. I ain't feeling so fine.
Well, they're also testing the air quality taken from this third borehole. They're going to expect them to release their findings today, which is 10 days after the cave-in.
Bad times. All right, T.
Very bad times. Now, in the world of sports, the ridiculously hyped move to the MLS's LA Galaxy for David Beckham, the English soccer superstar, was not that interesting until last night. He had an ankle injury. He didn't play much, but he made his very first start last night against DC United. And here's what happened.
He's got about six people in the wall covering the near side, Troy Perkins does.
Kenny Bendick. Beckham!
Oh, it's in the net!
Okay.
It's in the net! Do you believe it? Beckham can bend it!
Do you believe it?
David Beckham.
He's a soccer player, right? That's Stephen Hawking out there taking a run at the ball in a motorized wheelchair. I believe it.
What sport do you love best?
I'll say football.
Okay, if you saw six guys covering one guy and had him surrounded, and can he get out of it, and there was just no way. Did you hear him in the beginning? Because I don't care about soccer at all. But I heard casually, he's got six men all around him, Kenny Bennett, like there's no way. And then he did something apparently that gives him this kind of value. I heard some form of greatness there.
Well, those six guys were covering their genitalia and standing in a line in front of the goal, right?
It was a free kick.
That was a free kick. From what it sounded like to me.
I didn't get that because I don't know anything about the sport.
That's what it's known for.
It sounded like they were just saying it couldn't be done.
Well, it still is difficult because you got to bend it like Beckham.
Sure.
But, you know, sports are one of these things that gets so hyped that here's a guy and he's the best and he's, you know, worth millions and millions of dollars. And he, even when things are going well for him, he's scoring one goal every other game. Something like that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, if you just read the newspaper clippings, you'd say, oh, this guy's unstoppable.
That's Pele.
Yeah.
Even Pele, even the greatest. Right. I mean, it's the beauty of sports. The best hitter in baseball and a crappy hitter in baseball is separated by 80 points.
Yes.
I mean, it's not much. One guy's hitting 335 and the other guy's hitting 245. And the one guy's going down to the majors and the other guy's going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I still find it incredibly comforting that in baseball, I know this sounds simplistic, but if you hit half the time you're up, you're a Hall of Fame. You're the greatest hitter ever.
You don't exist. Yes.
You don't exist.
Never happened. You hit one third of the time you get up, you're probably going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it makes me feel better about life. Now,
sure.
To Catch a Predator also makes me feel better about life. It's a show we love here. If you've never seen To Catch a Predator, it is an NBC investigative show. That is Chris Hansen.
Mm-hmm.
He hosts it. And they take a decoy. They work with an organization called Perverted Justice that catches predators online. They use decoys who look young and sound young to lure these guys to a house.
Then you're Chris naked. Hansen, right? As a 14-year-old girl, you're chasing a cat around. You've got Cool Whip.
Exactly. Right. Now, often they keep detailed chat logs between these predators and the people posing as decoys. And a feature of the show is that they have somebody read aloud some of these chat logs. In case you haven't seen the show, it's usually this type of lyrical prose.
I'd so love to get beaten up by you and be your toilet.
Well,
good stuff.
Now,
I take it you're a virgin.
This show
written by candlelight.
With a quill.
Man, with
blank
a velvet
my blank
cape.
And blank you.
I know I say it every time, but look, if you want to get a 14-year-old in the sack, do not tell her to use a lamppost as a suppository. Say, hey, baby, all I want to do is hang and download some Justin Timberlake songs, and I'm going to bring my Hello Kitty day planner.
Right.
And we're going to drink ourselves some wine coolers.
And break Dance Dance Revolution.
And then I will rape you. But that part I will keep to myself.
Right.
Pardon the pun, but you won't just slip that in.
Yes. Is there a 14-year-old you're chatting with online who, when you say, I would like you to use me as your personal toilet, goes, ooh, you're making me hot. Every girl in the ninth grade fantasizes about using a 45-year-old guy as her personal toilet.
It's a whole chapter in Where You See Tiger Beat.
She's really mad.
Yeah.
What do you suppose the odds of any of that being even remotely true?
Okay. So, To Catch a Predator, at first, some people were slightly uncomfortable. They thought, is this entrapment? We're luring these predators in with decoys. But most people, I think, came down on the side of, well, let's get rid of these predators.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this show has been incredibly successful for NBC's Dateline. Now, the people over at ABC's competing news magazine show, 2020, are thinking, let's get in on the action. Mm. Let's do an investigative story on their investigative story.
Mm.
So last year, as you may recall, a former DA in Murphy, Texas, by the name of Lewis Conrad, shot himself to death. You remember this?
Mm-hmm. Right. He got busted.
Right.
He got let out. He went to his house. Or he got busted, and he got busted from his home, right? He didn't show up, and then he committed suicide in his house when the cops showed up.
Yeah, the cops showed up. He was home. He shot himself to death when the police and Dateline crew entered his home. They had a search warrant. Now, because he was a former DA, it's likely he had some idea what was about to go down.
Right.
He had attempted to solicit sex online from an underage boy who was actually a decoy. Well, now, NBC is facing a $105 million lawsuit filed by this man's sister.
Oh, talk about pride. Yes.
And ABC has confirmed that 2020 is also investigating Lewis Conrad's suicide, as well as the methods used by Dateline and their partner, Perverted Justice, to run down child predators. NBC has refused to comment. There's no word when we might see this 2020 investigation, but as if that's not all, Esquire magazine is also doing a story on the same suicide in Texas.
Well, it's provocative stuff. I could see people wanting to do a story on it, but what are they saying? Are they saying it was a police sniper's bullet that killed this guy?
Not that particular guy, but Esquire's Day Late and a Dollar Short, it's the current issue of Rolling Stone, maybe even the one before, does a whole thing about it being entrapment that's not fair. And they don't blatantly say we're on the pedophile side in any way, shape, or form, but they blatantly do say some of these people are innocent and would never have done it were they not enticed by a well-worded adult.
But in this well-worded, their responses aren't
I want to be your toilet. Those are well-worded.
I'd so love to get beaten up by you and be your toilet.
Look, here's my question.
Yeah.
This guy killed himself because of something, an investigation that Dateline did, but he still put the gun in his mouth, right? It was him that did it.
Right.
And it was still he who went after this person online. I don't know if there's much of a case. And then how humiliating is it for the family? Like, we have a lawsuit. What happened? You got rear-ended by a UPS truck?
Almost.
Nope. Yeah. What, did you spill some hot coffee on your lap driving through a... Nope. Nope. Well, what happened? Well, you remember Uncle Stu? Yeah. Forget it.
You told me a big fat lie.
Well, the man that died in the hunting accident? Yeah, I gotta tell you a little more about that.
He had to go to the toilet, or actually it had to come to him, and it was bad.
His sister, Patricia Conrad, is suing NBC, and what she is saying, what she is claiming, is that her brother's privacy was invaded, and that the camera steamrolled their way in with the help of police. And somehow this was unfair and or illegal. The Esquire article is detailing the circumstances around this sting in Murphy, where an actor was hired to play a 13-year-old. He was chatting online with this man who was later identified as Conrad. And Esquire saying Dateline producers tried to lure him to the house where police were waiting, only to find that he wasn't coming. Mm-hmm. So they went there.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there's something in the goings-on here that has yet to become clear that folks are investigating.
Well, look, let me give you my take. I don't like the entrapment thing either.
Right.
I don't like it when there's a 25-year-old attractive policewoman who's walking up and down the street asking people if they want to party. And you go, all right, baby, we'll party. And then you get arrested. That's total BS and a waste of taxpayer money. These are consenting adults. These are consensual crimes, and they're victimless crimes. But when you're dealing with guys that think it's a good idea to get their sex on 12-year-olds, I don't care if you bend the rules a little bit to get that guy behind bars. I have no problem with that at all. There are certain crimes like prostitution, drug use, I don't give a rat's hiney about. Then there's terrorism. Then there's pedophilia.
Right.
You want to bend the rules a little bit. If someone's civil liberties have to be balled up a little bit and kicked around so that we can stop the terrorists from flying the next set of airplanes into the next set of buildings, no problemo with that, and no problemo with the pedophiles. Thank you.
I'm
Adam
you.
Carolla
I'm
for mayor.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor. Why are you sitting in sights? Like
stepping stone.
Now,
going
do we have
right
time
from
for
that to
a,
governor and then right to the Oval Office.
Do we have time for a story about another crime in Eugene, Oregon?
Sure.
Well, it just looked like it was going to be a plain old boring meth bust, but it became fantastic. Monday night, Eugene's Vice Narcotics Squad was searching an apartment and arrested the tenant inside, a 58-year-old man, Gary Puckett, for possession of and dealing meth.
Young girl, get out of my mind. Gary Puckett, everybody. Who?
These are the kind of current references that make our show hip for the kids. Who is Gary Puckett?
Are you kidding?
Gary Puckett had a whole bunch of hits in like the 70s. Gary Puckett in the Union Gap.
Well, this Gary Puckett had a whole bunch of meth.
Mm.
And he got busted, right? So the cops are there. They're busting this 58-year-old for possession and dealing of meth.
Mm-hmm.
There's a knock at the door. It's a 34-year-old named James Wilkinson. Couple cops come to the door because they happen to be there busting Gary Puckett. James either ignored or didn't notice their badges and latex gloves they were wearing. Mm. And James saw Gary, his dealer, on the couch, also ignored that Gary was in handcuffs, and told him, I need a 30. That's a $30 bag of meth or about a quarter gram.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In front of the cops. So the cops arrested him for attempted possession and sale of meth. And after resisting arrest, he tried to run. A few minutes later, another guy walks into the same apartment of Mr. Gary Puckett, a 21-year-old, Luis Sanchez Flores. Guess what he had? A delivery.
Oh, really?
Juan Hernandez.
Not pizza.
He was dropping off the meth.
Seven baggies of meth for Gary. When he saw the cops, he stuffed the bags into his mouth. He was also arrested for meth possession and delivery. And that's not all.
Get out of my mind. My love for you is way out of line. Better run, girl. You're much too young, girl.
This is when it was okay to sing about banging underage chicks.
Yeah. No, I like it.
Because, you know, they talk about all the charms of a woman. You're right. Still in pigtails.
Yeah.
There's this great part of this song. About 2 minutes from now, it's going to feel like 20 to you, where he yells, get out of here before I have the time to change my mind.
Oh,
you're old enough to give me love.
This is amazing.
But is she old enough to conceive the love?
Let's just turn it up and decide.
Oh, young girl, get out of my mind. My love for you is way out of line. Better run, girl.
And the show has reached a new low.
I miss the dildo talk.
Let's spend the night together. That's another one. She's too young to sleep over.
Right.
Well, let me complete the story.
But okay. Leave Gary on.
Speaking of young, leave it playing softly in the background, because we are at the home now of Gary Puckett. Not this Gary Puckett.
Okay. I can't listen to any more of this because it's making me sick, so bye.
That it's wrong to be alone with me. Here's the creepy line. That come on look is in your eyes. So here's the song. Every third song in the late 60s and early 70s was about a guy with some underage chick that was really hot, and they knew it was wrong to be together.
Right.
But baby, you're little girl,
yeah.
You're a woman now.
Oh, yeah.
Super creepy 34-year-old Gary Puckett singing about a 14-year-old who looks like she's 19.
I want to ride the pony,
Chris
Daddy.
Hansen's theme song.
So hurry home to your mother.
Oh.
Just listen to this.
I'm sure she wonders where you are.
Oh, your mom wonders?
Yeah. Here's the line.
Get out of here before.
Go too far.
Let me get this straight.
Yes.
He's telling her to leave because she's underage and he doesn't want to have to rape her.
He's got about...
Statutorily.
She has about 3 minutes before the raping starts.
But he's begging her, I don't want to rape you.
And his answer is, you're now at 2 minutes and 46 seconds, baby.
Keep talking.
Boys have a penis. Girls have a vagina.
Okay, now...
Oh, we got other Gary Puckett hits to play. That's just the beginning. I'm
going
to go into Lady Willpower in about 5 minutes, and you're going to have to pull off the road and vomit.
You thought Jack Silver was mad at vibrator talk? You just made him kill himself.
I'm doing 20 minutes of Gary Puckett and the Union Gap
talk. Let me recap this briefly. Mm-hmm. So we're at the home of, I'm afraid to say it.
Hear it.
Gary Puckett.
Whoa, Lady Willpower.
We're at the home of Ari Gay Akitpay.
Oh, wait a minute. He found Lady Willpower.
No.
He's good.
I need my...
Lady Willpower, it's now or never. Give your love to me and I'll shout.
Vicious version.
I'm up to 3 arrests, and there are 4.
Okay.
Jack Silver called. He asked if Dad could come in to sort of lower the mood a little bit.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So
keep Gary on.
They go to Gary Puckett. Gary Puckett's been dealing meth.
Mm-hmm. Of course he has.
They cuff him. They're about to take him away when there's a knock on the door. 34-year-old, he wants to buy a 30. They decide, hey, you're trying to buy drugs. We're going to arrest you.
It's Paul Revere and his Raiders.
Right. A few minutes later, a 21-year-old comes with a delivery. 7 baggies of meth. Now the police are thinking, bonanza, we were just going to catch Gary Puckett.
Instead, love to me and I'll shower your heart with tenderness. Anytime you see Gary Puckett's name, I'm going into Lady Willpower.
Now, you're gay for saying that. Three guys busted when they just went for one. Can they bust a fourth?
I don't know.
In this
can
one
they?
Stop. Well, a few minutes later,
Paul Anka shows up at the door.
Neil Sedaka.
Yes.
And he's high as a kite. No, a few minutes later.
Hey, I'm not saying I know anything, but maybe.
Mm-hmm.
A few minutes later. Neil Diamond. A few minutes later, an 18-year-old named Edgar Figueroa shows up, and he's got...
What song did he sing?
He's got an illegal butterfly knife, which he told the cops he was planning to use to convince Gary Puckett to stop selling drugs.
Get your loving in return, lady.
Why did he have a butterfly knife? Because he wanted this man to stop selling drugs to his girlfriend. He said, listen.
Who's this man?
He said, listen. You, man.
Man, who's the guy you're talking about? I don't know who you're talking about.
Sell drugs to my girlfriend. So police took them all away, including Gary Puckett.
Oh.
Aww. You know who's in jail? Gary Puckett.
Why am I losing sleep over you? Something every moment sweet. All right, let's leave this. I'm going to catch this one in a second.
So many days have gone by.
Now, before we go any further, I've got to apologize to everybody.
And I guess that there's just no getting over you. No, there's nothing we can do except go all of my time out of my mind over you.
I'm Teresa Strasser, getting over the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. Do you see CNN?
Wow, I know a lot of Gary Puckett songs. Oh, Gary Puckett all the time. K-Puck. FM. All you competitors can puck off. Oh, we got a baker's dozen more of Gary Puckett songs
I'll tell you
to play.
What, ladies drink free at Lady Willpower Night.
I kid you not, I'm going to go dig up another 10 Gary Puckett songs and sing them all. And Dag is going to be right next to me.
Nice,
this is
going to
be great radio, everybody.
Oh, boy. This is nice.
David Alan Greer, the great David Alan Greer, in studio next.
I'm listening to the Adam Carolla Show, Jack. Say what? What? He's doing things in the morning, having a real good time. He's having so much fun. He will make you lose your mind. Danny Bonadu, T2. Teresa's reading the news on the Adam Cracker Holy Show. Show me
Yeah, David Alan Greer, my main man.
How are you doing, Adam?
Well,
sometimes people change. Changing. Love's come into my life.
Dag is married.
Oh, my God.
Dag, if you want.
You know why I'm laughing? Because I'm happy.
Yes. Enjoy.
Prenup.
Oh, sorry. Teresa, I wanted to call you and tell you, but
I feel ashamed. I feel guilty. I just, I didn't know how to tell you. You know, I tried to give you hints last time. I'm working on something. Mm-hmm. Sorry I never called you back. I have a little project in my hip pocket, but you didn't seem to pick up on it. Well, and Adam doesn't care about me, you know.
I pretend to, though. I'll tell you who does care about you, David Alan Greer. Young man by the name of Gary Puckett.
Details on Dax's marriage.
Well, I'll tell you, woman, she's the best little girl in the world.
She's a lucky girl.
I hate gay people.
And she's not averse to a vibrator or two.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Absolutely, because open-minded people do that, Teresa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and they also willingly give their boyfriends their butts. Yes!
Hold on. I said one time.
The chorus is coming up again. There we go. Not a dry ear in the house when I do that in karaoke.
Yes, mm-hmm.
I didn't think it would work out with us. I didn't think you could be faithful.
I had cheating on my mind.
Well, I don't know. Now, who's this new victim you have?
Oh, mm-hmm. Dag, I'm madly in love. But let's talk about you.
Sure.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
She's
a
lucky girl. She will never
she
be bored.
Certainly is.
How long have you been dating?
Two and a half years.
Oh. Did you have cheating on your mind when we went out that one time?
No, we didn't.
Because that was within the last 2.5 years. Were you on a break?
We were on a break.
Okay.
And that was a business meeting, even though you did try to jump my bones. You're nasty, though. You have, like, you cut, like, fruit and stuff, and you leave it in there, and you don't
clean up.
I left
the slice.
You're nasty. That means you kick the panties to the corner and just, whatever. I love you, damn
it. You know what happens? Mm. Regina cleans up for me.
Regina, who's Regina? There's no Mexican woman named Regina.
Regina spelled backwards.
Oh, yes, there
exactly.
is. There mm-hmm. is.
So you are a nasty woman.
No, I try.
Look at me.
Yes.
Look at
I'm
me.
A little sloppy sometimes.
Oh, God.
I'm very busy. But let's talk about you.
Okay, I like the way you
And you were dating 2.5 years. And then how'd you pop the question?
Do you still not know who Gary effing Puckett is?
No, no.
The Union effing Gat.
I'll never effing
the
forget
Union
it.
Guy. Who came up with that name?
I know the cheating
guys,
song.
Guys, Adam in the corner. What are your names, your list of names before we settle on this group name?
Confederate Gap.
No, anybody? Danny, you got a name?
Spearman Rhino.
Hey, how about this one? I got Sputnik. Yeah. No? Anybody hands up Sputnik? Teresa, you got
a
name?
I like Sputnik.
How about Union Soldiers?
Well, let's use my Gap.
Okay, no. Union. The Gap that.
Union Gap.
Gap Union?
Union Gap.
All right, that's it. Hands
Union
in the middle.
And
yeah.
That's how it happened. History and music.
What day?
Good name
did you
for TSV, by the way.
I got married on July 29th, and I folded. Like, because, you know, the first time I got married, but I didn't have a wedding. It was kind of like we had a wedding, but it was a bootleg wedding.
Right.
You know, it was like, hey, baby, we together, right? Jump over the broom. Okay, cool.
All right, see you later. Hey, man, look here. Give me 3 beers. We up in here.
You know, right. It was really quick. This one was parents and, you know, the preacher guy.
Adam.
Where was
Adam
it?
Adam was not. It
Where?
Was in a secret place, Adam.
Where?
It was somewhere my friends and loved ones wanted to be.
You didn't invite me, Dave.
No, I did, because
Why didn't you
wouldn't have come.
He would have come. At the very least.
No, Teresa, he wouldn't have because he was supposed to come to see the boxing match.
I know.
Well, that's just because Jimmy was getting married up the street and he had it on pay-per-view.
Hold on. I have a message for Adam Kroll from Dana Avalier. I hate you, Adam Kroll. I hate you.
Strati can't even pronounce his name.
His own name.
No, I got married in New York. There were like 50 people.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have gone.
You wouldn't have gone.
And how did you go on a honeymoon?
We didn't go on a honeymoon yet, which is fine. We're going to go later. We're adults.
Tell me about her ring.
Circular.
She chose it. It's an old ring. It's from the Art Deco period. This is what I know.
Nice.
As you know, Adam, I assume she chose this ring, and I was directed to buy it.
Yes, that's how it works. Usually.
Here's something I didn't know.
Wow.
Diamonds, apparently not forever. They wear out.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, by the way, women going and talking to guys about whether they should get their diamond replaced, and they're talking to the guy who wants to replace the diamond. Yeah. Not a great conversation. Right. Like an old guy talking to a shady guy about whether the transmission needs to be fixed on their car.
Oh, it needs it.
Oh, my wife needed the old Art Deco ring.
Yeah.
Fine. The problem is the diamond. It's old. Yeah. I'm like, what do you mean it's old? It's worn out.
They try to get you involved.
It's old. Right. It's 22 million years old.
She needed her diamond replaced.
Mm-hmm. Did you replace it?
They try to get you involved, don't they? Look at it.
No,
look at it.
I paid for it. She replaced it. You know, yes.
Gretchen May have not loved me in the past 5 years, and I begged her not to leave, and you know why?
Wow.
She doesn't have an outfit that costs over $100 or a piece of jewelry that costs over $15.
Well, you're lucky. Let me just put it like
damn
this.
Right. Yes. She wouldn't bone me.
My wife's family did very well for themselves.
Yeah.
Her ring is bigger than her mother's.
Mm-hmm.
Now her mother has to get a new ring.
Oh.
Now, how does it feel saying my wife?
It feels like my car, my condoms, my gun, my firecrackers.
This feels like more your stuff.
Right. My wife.
But,
are you okay?
Hey, Satan.
Yes.
What color's your wife? You don't mind me asking.
She's Korean.
Yeah.
So, what we do is we play liquor store.
How does that role play? She's running the liquor store.
Stick them up, baby.
No.
I'm butt naked. You know, give me what I want.
Here's how it works. David pulls up the driveway after a long day of work. He gets out of his car. He goes to the mailbox. He hears a gunshot and a window break. And then he sees someone on his roof. Well, you keep moving.
Something like that.
Does your family like you?
Yes, we all like each other.
Right. We all came together as a family.
That'd be a great shirt for her, black owned.
Let me write that down. Can I get a pen up in here? Because I'm writing jokies.
It's a little black racial owned. Riot comedy from L.A., everybody.
I'll hit you with a beer can again today. Wow.
Black owned. There's synagogues that said black owned.
On a Friday night, they play looting.
What happened was during the racial riots we had out here, and by the way, well, let's just call every riot a racial riot until otherwise noticed. But in 94, 93, whenever we had the big racial riot out here.
That was an uprising.
That was the uprising. Sorry. We called a riot. You called an uprising.
Well, I call it a day of social unrest.
Well,
and
okay.
There is no tea.
I was in Australia. I call it entertainment.
We were all frightened for our lives out here because Dave and some of his cousins decided to hit the streets.
My name is Todd Rome, Washington.
So a lot of folks, so their business wouldn't get burned,
went and
wrote black owned all over their business. But come on.
I saw a great human interest story on that, though. There was a black owned business right next to a Korean owned business. Mm-hmm. And the owner, the black guy, went over to the Korean guy's business and wrote black owned and stood in front of it.
And then the guy shot him.
See, coming together. I remember I called my mother that morning. I was like, Mom, you know, the riot is all the way. I can barely see smoke.
Right.
You know, I'm fine. I lived in Koreatown at the time.
Oh,
2 hours later, I was like, I'm getting out. I'm loading the car.
It was freaky. There were people had to, you know, go stay in their homes, and you're scared to go to certain parts of the town. And ever since Reginald Denny. I was thoroughly freaked. That whole getting pulled out of your car thing is.
But let me ask you something.
That guy's name was Football, right?
Yeah. Have you ever? That's right. What was Damien Football?
Williams, I think.
But have you been to Florence in Normandy? Has anyone ever done that? You need to take yourself a drive. Go there and think about it.
It's nothing like it was, though, my man.
I know, but still.
I was a crackhead about 10 years before that, and that was gnarly down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Damien Football Williams later killed somebody after he got out of prison or something. So all the folks that supported him, nice job.
Well, you know, all the folks that supported the 67 police that whooped Rodney King's ass. Okay. I mean, from three different precincts.
Yeah.
Look, lined up like they were casting lottery tickets.
We all have some skeletons and maybe some Klan robes in our closets.
No, well, hey, man, I guess you got Klan robes in your... Hey, you know what? Come to my house for dinner. Adam Carolla.
I would love to. You didn't invite me to your wedding.
No, because you're a racist, Adam, and I hate you.
I'm going to go have some malt liquor and kimchi.
We're
trying to David Allen Greer household.
You know what? You read me. We're trying to come out with a spicy beer. Kind of get the culture together. Hot sauce and beer. You know,
black owned would be a hell of a t-shirt for a chance of sense of humor.
I think Korean women are some of the most beautiful women in the whole
world. Well, she is an individual. And she's my honey bunny.
My first wife was Japanese, and I just thought she was stunning. I mean, Yoko wrecked the bell curve, but aside from that, just stunning.
Is she in New York still, or is she out here?
Of course, Adam. That's why we're happily married. Hello.
Is she going to move in? Because
not if I can help it.
Yeah, Dag has a bachelor pad.
I've been cleaning my house out there.
Dag has a house with lots of cigars, lots of motorcycles, and lots of big dogs, and no room for a lady. Lots of guns. Lots
of guns.
All things that are male.
Yes.
Right.
He has in his house, and I couldn't picture a woman finding a home there.
Well, this last week I've come home to... I get a little emotional. Say goodbye to my old life.
Yeah.
I went by my favorite strip clubs. Danny, you may want to get him this one. You know. Yeah, and it was kind of like an athlete that today, day, I feel
today
like the luckiest man in the world. I've given all I could, $1 at a time, to Lexus. Diamond, I want to thank Chewy the valet. I won't be coming back.
Chewy's a good man. We need to take ourselves a little break. I know. Say
Mr.
goodbye.
DJ, play me out.
Oh, what a life. His house is really...
You guys in the booty club. I'm out. Thank you so much for all the years of happiness. Let me fan these ones one last time.
It's strip club DJ. Everyone, take their swizzle sticks out of their glass and tip a little for lost brother David Allen Greer. Finally tied the knot. He'll be getting his last lap dance in the champagne room. It's going to be nothing but rugrats and soccer Sundays for Dag. Dag!
Hey, guys, can you play I Like Big Butts, please, for my last
Let's put on I Like Big Butts for David Allen Greer one more time. Ladies, Lexus, Infiniti, Mercedes, Porsche.
Porsche.
Sorry, Porsche.
Play me out, DJ. Look at I'm not dead yet.
Porsche. Hyundai, get your fat ass, get your fat cheap ass out here. Surround, Dag, for one last lap dance.
I'm about to slap a one on that booty cheek.
Champagne on the house for the next 10 minutes. Everyone's got a bottomless champagne cup. Let's tip one for David Allen.
I'm
going to
squeeze one off. This is for my last bachelor day.
Hyundai, go ahead and grab the pail and bucket. We got to clean up aisle Dag. No, that's not. He was in Living Color, but he's not one of the famous ones. No.
No, his name isn't Wayland's.
No, that's Wayland. No, you're thinking of the Wayans brothers. Yes. Oh, I don't know what their movies have grossed. Quite a bit over the years.
10,000-20,000 a year.
Yeah, him and Carrie were close at one point, although he'll be goddamn for calling back now.
Hey, yeah. What's up, Jim? It's David, man.
Yeah, last time he saw Jim, it was out front of Cirque, and Jim handed him the keys to the Porsche and kept walking.
Hey.
So, Jim, pick up.
Jim Carrey, it's me calling back.
Unclear whether his ill-fated improv show will be brought back to ABC. Doesn't look like it got the nod.
NBC, it's already gotten canceled.
Yeah, already got canceled. There you go.
That's why I'm at Dingleberry's.
Yeah, no, Corolla, he passed on that one. That's right.
Want to come to my show later? Scare some kids. I want to get in this business.
Sacramento Punchline.
All right.
Tomorrow, Sunday, holding it down.
We need to take ourselves a break. Dag in studio, as if you didn't know. More Gary Puckett. Maybe Peanut will make an appearance when we
Peanut's
come back.
Really, she's really been upset.
She's not in a good way. She's a fan of Dag.
Like a lot of big girls, when somebody else finds love, they just get angry.
We'll take ourselves a hell hath no fury like a 400-pound woman scorned.
Wow.
And don't make her take her flip-flops off. We'll take a quick break. Back with Peanut next.
Welcome to Crank Anchor's Vault with David Alan Greer.
Hello, my name is Landelius Trufell. I'm calling about your square dancing. I like to call some square dancing. Are you looking for anybody to do some dance calling?
You're a caller?
Yes, I am. How long you been calling dancing?
Oh, 4 or 5 years.
Now, can I hear any of your rhymes? Or, you know, when you call, can you just give me a little taste? Just a little taste, because I know it must be nice, you know?
Well, I do mostly singing calls.
Let me hear something. I'd love to hear anything that you could just...
Well, I got one that goes like this. You do an Alleman left, an Alleman there, 5 or 2 make your star men back in the middle with a backup there. That starry fool, turn right to the partner, pull up my left Alleman,
keep going.
Weave that ring.
Let me go. Now swing your partner round and round, stiff her ass like an old greyhound. Twin diamonds, easy, deuce it. Damn your homegirl, butt look juicy. Boom, shot, galaka do, don't sit, though, you ain't no fool. Yeah, now. You know, stuff like just funky, man. That's
well, now, you're calling some plus calls in there.
Say,
Use the AC/DC there, and then use load the boat.
There you go. Okay. All right.
All right. You know the difference between plus and mainstream?
Well, here's where my head is at. Kind of what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make square dance calling an art form, because I believe that's what it is. So, in other words, taking your flavor, what y'all are doing, I'm trying to give these dancers some sauce that they can't live without. You understand what I'm saying?
Let me give you a number, and you call him. He's my buddy, and his name is Rick Simpson. R-I-C-K, Rick Simpson.
Rick Simpson, all right.
He would love probably what you're doing. He's younger than I am.
Yeah.
If you got time, give him a call. He's going to a dance tonight up in Habersham County.
Wow.
If you'll come by, we'll put you up and let you call a little bit.
Hey, work it, man. Yeah, jump on there, man. Come on. Get on board.
Have you got a turntable?
Boom. Oh, you know I do, man. You know I do. I'm just ready, you know.
What kind of turntable you got?
I have a technique right now. I got it from my cousin, Ray Ray. You know, he play all that rap music, you know, which I ain't really into. But can I ask you, can I borrow $500?
Do what?
Can I borrow $500?
I don't have $500.
All right, then. I just wanted to ask. Anyway, okay, so thanks so much for all this leads man. I'm going to talk to your boy, Rick. Get back at you.
All righty.
All right, then.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Oh, David Alan Greer. No one plays a better black guy on the phone than David Alan Greer. He will fool your ass. He will swear he was black.
Whoa, pump the brakes there.
Mm.
You know what? Mm. You are a racist. You have racist views about how your quote-unquote Negro friends are supposed to behave, like the squeegee man.
Dag, okay? When I called you one of the good ones in the kitchen a few moments ago, that was meant to be a compliment. Why do you have to turn everything around on me?
You and your Klan-tending friends, Jimmy Kimmel, is a wonderful young man, okay? A little porky in the ass, but he is wonderful.
Speaking
wonderful
of porky in the
what's
ass.
What's wrong with you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
David Alan Greer said to our own Teresa Strasser, who's not only deeply in love and looking to get married, but also on television and has some very high-profile, exciting television news that we'll share shortly.
Good.
She has sworn off of eating for these two reasons.
I don't...
Dag mentioned that her behind looked a little bigger than it normally did, and Teresa, you don't... Dag, first off, I can't have you coming in here shaking Teresa's snow globe and then leaving because I have to deal with this wreck.
You know what? You know what David means? The biblical meaning of David, mister, is honesty. Now, Teresa, stand up. Mm. Okay, I didn't say she was fat, but I see a little bit of fleshiness in her butt. Now, all I'm saying is it's fine. It's not bad, but I'm not going to sit here and lie and say, hey, you lost 5 pounds. She looks like she put a little more on because she's happy and she's in love. That's all I say.
He's bitter. I would pay my last dollar to see a little fleshy in your butt.
First of all, I need to talk to Teresa because, Teresa, you think you're, well, excuse me. You say you're getting married, right?
I haven't said that. I
well, okay.
I hope
and you say this man you're with is getting married to you. And I asked her, I said, how do you know? And she said, well, we talked about it. And I said, well, what did you talk about, marriage? She goes, kids and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, you're not getting married. Did he say, will you marry me?
Well, it's only
did
been
he say, excuse me, may I approach the bench?
Excuse
did
me.
He say, will you marry me?
Do you want to hear something?
Excuse me. Did he say, I want you to be my wife?
Let me tell you this.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Just yes or no. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I get in here?
Yeah.
Did he say, I want to spend my life with you?
Yes. Yes.
How did he say
that?
I'm you. Okay. Now let's role play.
He
I'm
said,
Teresa.
I want to grow old with you.
Really?
Yes.
I want to grow old with Adam.
You
want to marry?
You want to play Teresa? You better pack on 40 pounds in the ass. You know, just step into
it's
that role.
It's hard to play me without a huge 12-inch sub in your hand.
Get the fat suit on, the big nose and glasses.
Can I get a couple bagels and a BLT?
Now you see.
And some food.
Have you ever had a some long donuts? Talk with Teresa? When he said, I want to grow old with you, he meant by dinner.
Yes.
By the
Teresa,
way.
Teresa, I'm just helping you because I really care for you. I think you're a wonderful person. But I'm going to tell all women, look, if a man says, will you marry me?
Yeah.
Here's a ring.
Then
we are getting married. That then he means marriage. When men talk about kids, houses, anything but those words, they're talking about sex.
I'd like to hear the role playing, Dag.
Okay. Hi.
You're going to play Teresa?
Yeah, I'm Teresa now.
And Teresa's going to play who?
She's playing boyfriend guy.
Okay.
Hi, honey. Come here. I'm cutting a tomato. Oh, who is that? Let me. I was going to clean this tomato up. I'll just leave it there. Boy, these panties are itchy. Let me kick them off and just put them in the corner.
You look so thin. Have you lost weight?
Come here.
You look beautiful.
I'm sitting on this spot where I was slicing the tomato and it's kind of wet.
I'm concerned, though, that you might be underweight.
Really?
Yeah, maybe you should think about eating a little more.
Speaking about underweight, so when we get married, how many kids do you want?
I was thinking about...
Oh, my God! I'm going to call my massage therapist friend. We're getting married! We're getting married! Oh, my God! Do you like rings?
Sure.
You proposed! I'm going to call Adam right now. Adam and Lynette, they usually don't answer when I call. It goes to that message. But I saw their twins once because I was looking in the window because I was in the backyard. They didn't let me in stuff. Anyway, I'm going to call Adam and say, we're getting married! Do you love me?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. Tell me how skinny I am.
I'm
clean
concerned.
That tomato up.
I'm concerned.
Get out of my face.
Oh.
Give me a donut.
Wow.
You don't love me.
But honey.
Oh, cut. Cut.
Honey,
see where it goes?
Let me say this.
Thanks a lot.
That was very nice. You played me very well, although...
Yeah.
A fistful of Xanax would have made it more realistic.
Really?
No.
Really?
Dang.
Xanax.
Put that down.
No, I have no
prescriptions. Isn't that one of... I had a cousin named Xanax.
Did you ever yell for her from the porch to come in?
Xanax! Xanax! Raymond, tap Xanax and tell her to get in the house. I found her rubber band ball.
We generally...
Xanax!
By the way, what about Xanax's cousin?
You didn't go get your sister.
What about Xanax's cousin, Klonopin?
Oh,
called Klonopin.
Other pocket.
Klonopin is my life joy.
Klonopin's a good one.
Absolutely. Klonopin, she brought me her report card.
Yeah.
And it had three little stars.
Yeah.
On the attendance part. It's just my, she's my joy.
Right. Well, Butrin is not a good student.
No, but even keel and doesn't smoke.
You know, Butrin is in juvie. He's in juvie. No, he don't listen.
Right.
He don't listen. You know, he's playing with the bad boys. And sometimes I had to snap. I tried to snatch him, but he's too big now. I can't snatch him.
You can't catch Butrin.
It's hard when you need a step stool. Hello, right. That's my time.
Now if Lexapro was a couple blocks away.
Well,
and you were on the porch.
Okay.
How would you call Lexapro?
Lexapro! 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 The street lights are on. Please get your kids and come in the house, please.
Kids.
Time to be chasing you.
Grandkids.
She procreated early.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Dag, hang out. Because
Sacramento, man. I'm in Sacramento.
Extra
Punchline.
Dial. Tonight. I'm sure you're in Sacramento.
Sacramento tonight, tomorrow, Sunday night.
Punchline?
At the Punchline. Putting it down like Boo Boo Brown, you know.
You must sell tickets as we're talking. I'll
tell you who's going to be putting it down. Peanut's going to be putting it down.
She's very angry.
Adam.
Wow. Peanut, not in a good way. Now, Peanut is the heavy set lady of color who answers the phone here at the... She's a receptionist here at KLSX out in Los Angeles. Peanut is not excited about Dag being taken off the market.
I did it.
His apartment, you haven't been to his house, but it was like a humidor met a whorehouse. That's what it used to be. Now it's going to be a gymboree. Very sad.
Yeah, she went through the house. She told me, you don't need this. You don't need this. You don't need 12 of these.
That's the whole.
You don't need those.
Women don't understand. The more crap we have that we don't need, the better off we are. That's how you know you've arrived.
Right, sure.
People go, what do you need a second car for? That's the point. Yeah. Who needs a 60-inch television?
To drive into my third one.
Right.
Why
do you need a television in your bathroom? It's like, I don't need any of it. This is how I know I'm doing well.
Right. You ask a woman, why do you need 100 pairs of shoes? That's different.
Right.
It's different.
That's totally different.
You don't even understand. It's different. I need them. I use them. I wear each one of them.
Peanut will confront Dag next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci.
Can I do a shout-out to my babies?
Well, I'd like you to answer.
Can I do a shout-out to my babies?
Well, we hired you to answer the phone.
I want
to
do a shout-out. Hey, Ray Ray. Hey, Tay Tay. Hey, Ina, Mina, Queena. Hey, I got ones I ran out of names. They 1, 2, 3, and 4. And my fourth sets of twins. Hey, y'all. Hey, mama's on the radio.
David Alan Greer is on the Adam Carolla Show.
He's going to be at the Punchline in Sacramento tomorrow through Sunday.
It's incredible.
Peanut
it's inevitable.
Is hanging out in the lobby here at KLSX. We hired her some months back to answer the phones here. She doesn't always come into work and is not professional. We love her anyway, mostly because we're scared of her. She's not in a good mood today.
Hey, Dee Dee. Dee's me. I'm going to leave a quick message. It's Peanut. Hey, girl, bring my pistol and drop it off at the radio station because I'm having problems here. You know, you're working my nerves.
Okay, this is.
And bring me another set of flip flops. Okay, girl, hit me back.
This is not Dee Dee. This is Adam Carolla from the Adam Carolla Show.
Hello?
Yes, Peanut.
Hold on. Let me put my cell phone down. Hello, Mr. Carolla.
Yeah, Peanut, we're going to need you to answer our phones here at KLSX.
Hold, please.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to hold.
I saw you breaking up. What's going on?
You're spending a lot of time on your cell phone.
Can I ask you something?
No, we hired you to answer.
Can I ask you? You know, I'm about to hire you to do something for me, please. Let's go along.
Okay.
I'm going to hire you to do a little job for me. You ready?
Yeah.
You ready for your job description?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You ready?
Yeah.
You real close. Excuse me. Hold, please.
Okay.
You ready?
See,
now, here we go. No, here we go. Interview started.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Kiss my behind. Why are you yelling at me?
No.
I work for you. You don't own me. I'm not your slave.
No, I don't want to go down a racial road here, Peanut.
What'd you say? Black what?
No, I don't want any trouble with the EOC or anything.
Hell no. Teresa, do you have a tampon? I'm not too getting in your behind.
Now, hold on.
I'm about to wreck your rectum. No, I'm taking off my earring. Okay, Peanut. I came up in
here. Peanut, don't get emotional.
I got a pedicure. And I got my little name, Peanut, on each toe. You ain't even say nothing about it. And they filed to a point unless I get in a scruff.
I wanted to talk about that. First of all, not every day's casual Friday. Flip-flops are not considered appropriate attire for business. We'd like you to wear some shoes that aren't open-toed. Also, as far as answering the phone, that doesn't include your cell phone. You spent a lot of time talking to someone named Dee Dee.
Hold on, my big one. Hey, girl. Hey, Dee Dee. Hold on. We have a little meeting now, Dee Dee. Let me call you back. Excuse me, I can hear you talking to Dee Dee on the other line.
I got my pager. Yeah, that's my point.
Ooh.
We hired you to answer our phones here.
Oh, hello? Oh, please, hold on.
Yeah, Dee-Dee. No, you answer the phone, KLSX.
Dee Dee, you're breaking up.
No, this is Peanut.
Call me back. Hold on. Call me back. Okay. Call me back.
Peanut, this is what I'm talking about. We've had a lot of complaints.
Hold on. This is some bull right here because I know I left my house with my ankle bracelet on. Look, Mr. Corolla, like, I got to go home. It's court ordered. I got to go home.
Okay,
I'll be right
Peanut,
back.
Let me say this.
It's 8:40. I will be back by 2 p.m.
If you,
I got to go.
You live across the street, Dee Dee. I don't think it's going to take you 6 hours. Peanut. Now, listen, Peanut.
I left my flip-flops, and I stepped on a bottle cap.
Okay. If you left that. That was from a wine cooler you were drinking yesterday. Now, listen, Peanut.
Why'd you raise your voice at me?
No, I'm not, but I'm saying if you go home, you need to stay home because you will be terminated. Okay?
Well, what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say this little experiment didn't work out.
Well, what's that mean?
It means we hired you 9 months ago to answer the phones here at KLSX.
Okay.
You spent the lion's share of that time threatening to take off your earrings, throwing your flip-flops at people that came in.
Ooh, I'm seeing double.
We had you speaking to your friend Dee Dee on your cell phone almost the entire time. You physically assaulted Jack Silver.
Ooh, I feel like a lightning strike just went off in my head.
You beat Jack Silver to a bloody pulp because you said he disrespected you on the way to his office.
Oh, no.
Dee Dee, I'm just gonna... Dee Dee, I don't want any...
My name is Peanut.
Sorry, Dee Dee's on the phone.
Ooh, I'm taking my hoop earrings off. Why are you running?
I don't want trouble.
If you're gonna fire me to my face. You know what? You know what? Fine, you fire me, I don't quit.
Now watch how I work. I have to fire you.
Hello? It's radio. I'm putting my page right there. Hello? Who is calling? What's your business up in here?
Okay, this is Adam Carolla, and I'm telling you,
how
Peanut.
Are you? Just hold on, mate. It's too late for that.
No, Peanut, you heard it's what I said earlier. You are going to be relieved.
Have I told you that you a wonderful boss?
You know what? All the sucking up at this point is going to be
a no. Did you get my coffee mug that I gave?
I got a styrofoam coffee mug with lipstick on it that was left in the kitchen.
Mr. Corolla, I need to talk with you for real. Please. I need to talk with you for real.
Yes, Peanut.
Listen, I understand how you feel. Mm-hmm. I don't want to raise my voice. Mm-hmm. But if you do that thing that you said you was going to do.
Let's fire you, yes.
I'm going to have to go back to the big house.
Here.
Hold on. I need you to do something for me. Mm-hmm. To help me do something for you. You understand what I'm saying?
I don't know what that means.
Dee Dee just dropped my pistol off. Now you can continue with this. Babe, I'm trying to help you, Adam, because I'm working on a short fuse.
This feels like a threat.
Look down to the floor. I'm putting my flip-flop back on.
Okay.
Do we understand each other? Hold on.
Listen, Miss Peanut.
Look on the desk. What you
see?
That's a $5 bill. Wow.
Okay, that's...
Keep it.
No, I don't...
Keep it.
See, in my world, that's... You know,
I gotta get to work. I'm tired of talking to you.
Well, that is part of the problem. Okay, Dee Dee, you need to see Jack Silver after work today.
Well, hold on, who's Jerome?
Okay, listen.
Who knows Jerome? Because Jerome think he know me.
Jerome is your oldest child, Peanut.
That's my bad. Oh, hello, how are you? Good
good after mornings.
You see, we need to, you can't, you know, it's KLSX radio.
It's Triple X radio show.
No, Peanut. You can't just repeat everything.
What you said?
Okay, Peanut.
You need to know
that's not appropriate. You need to speak to Jack Silver.
Okay, look. If you gonna find me, you got to give me time to clean out my desk because all my flip flops collection is in there, and I only brought my little purse today. And as a humane person, as a humane man, a human man, you should let me take my flip-flops and just leave with dignity, okay?
Well,
it's obvious this didn't work. This relationship is dysfunctional.
Last time we spoke...
Okay, you bipolar, okay? That's obvious.
Last time we spoke, you said that you leased your flip-flops. You didn't own them.
Hey, can I...
You rented your furniture, your rims, and your flip-flops.
Let's calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Peanut. You know, Peanut always not always crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Can I talk to you in the corner, please? Hold up, Teresa.
Okay.
Please, can you step back a little
bit,
please?
Private.
Danny, please.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why you got a stick? Why y'all surrounding me? Like I'm, you know.
We don't want.
Let's keep our voices down. Let's handle this like men.
Let's be professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, if you let me go, I'm gonna have to release the pictures from the Kwanzaa party.
Oh, who? Yeah. Are those?
Well, they're online.
Oh, you mean you have people that you talk to?
I didn't put them there, but, you know, things had went down.
You said Kwanzaa party.
It was 2 years ago. Me and you would drink a Cuba Libre's.
Oh, yeah.
And you start screaming, Blanco! Blanco! You remember that?
No, right, I do.
Well, if you proceed with this action.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me? You proceed, because I'm trying to whisper, because I don't want the people to know all your business, how you took your shirt off. Can you hear me?
You know, that was...
Adam, can you hear me?
Yes, but...
Adam, I'm whispering. Excuse me, I smoked a cigarette, but my breath is a little funky. You blinking. You keep blinking your eyes. Do you hear me?
I see.
I don't want to do this, but if you continue with this action...
That was a social environment. It wasn't a work...
Adam, I'm going to show you... Is that the room again?
It was a social... Peanut.
Yeah.
That was a social environment that was not on the work premises. That had nothing to do with work. What happened, but, you know...
If my
wife... Well, I just had twins. Okay.
Yes. And what is the... Yes.
It would... Listen, Ms. Peanut, I'm just saying that Lynette is not...
Oh, excuse me. Hello. Good
morning. Open-minded as you or...
Yeah. Hold, please.
Teresa's boyfriend's behind was.
Yeah. Let's forget this ever happened, okay?
Ex-boyfriend.
Let's forget this ever happened. Here's what I ask to you. I'm going to come in with matching flip-flops, first of all.
Okay.
This is penis rule. We got penis rules. I'm a new woman now.
Okay.
I'm going to come up with one hairstyle, okay?
Okay.
From here on out. Peanut. This business Peanut. Okay, I'm gonna walk in. I'm gonna be nice. I'm gonna be on time within more or less 23 minutes every morning. I'm gonna try to get here.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'm meeting you halfway.
Can I have some of the pictures from the Kwanzaa party?
Yes, you can. You got to talk to my lawyer, boyfriend, Boudreaux. He will, it's a little thing you got to sign. I don't know. I'm not, you know, technical like that.
Okay,
it's a little thing you got to sign, and we're going to get them pitched to you. Hey, and you have a nice day, okay?
And if Lynette ever calls or
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Hey, right, Adam, right, is it like we back the way we was this morning?
I'll talk to
Jack. Kiss my ass! Scared me half to death!
Teresa, hand me my earring. Hey, thanks for that tampon, girl.
You're welcome.
Peanut.
Ooh, Maxie, I don't know.
Peanut, everyone. This is about the most interesting reenactment I've ever been a part of in my life.
Man, what were you guys talking about over there?
Me and Peanut, I had a whole change of heart after bringing up that Kwanzaa party from last year.
You know, you were like the white guy who's had it. You know, you were like, who's going to fire his, you know, the gardener.
Mm-hmm.
Comprende? Chewy. Siéntate y escúchame por un minuto.
Okay? Yeah, you really had it.
Boy. Yeah, I had a little change of heart. David Alan Greer, everyone, at the Punchline.
Sacramento, baby.
Sacramento.
Sac-town. And Teresa,
yes.
I need to get with you. Get back on the diet. I mean, whatever you're doing.
Hey, Adam.
But I'm saying that if you want to really, truly be thin, you know, do what I do.
What?
Chewing gum and diet pills.
Hey, look, you fat right. pig.
Wow.
You know, between wow. the Micto, the Lexapro,
wow.
The Prozac, the Zoloft, oh. and now the diet pills. Wow. It's like you're living in my...
This is a hilarious bit, but Adam,
tea is
am
thinking,
I fat?
No.
No, you're skinny as a
wafer,
stick. You are.
Wafer thin. She weighs as much as the center of the bagel.
Oh.
oh, my God. Zero.
What's that chick that just got fired and rehired for doing all that blow?
And I worked the Jew
Isn't
thing
she,
in, too.
You're calm now.
She's
you know?
Glowing.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah, because you, I guess, cornered this guy into...
That's how it worked. I cornered
making
him
you
into
think
it.
He's marrying you. You're moving in on, when is it, Halloween?
Yeah.
Is there any worse day to move in?
No.
Kwanzaa?
Oh, boy. Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, baby, I love you so much. We're going to move in together on that day once a year where you dress up like you're not yourself. Because that's how much I love you, okay? So I'm going to be dressed up like a robber, you know, a pirate or something. And what you going to dress as?
We need we need to take ourselves a break. Ooh, seriously, right. Apologize to Teresa during the break about calling her fat. Otherwise, right. She's going to vomit and snort laxatives.
Teresa, you're not fat.
There
You're
you
just
go.
In love. That's all.
There you go. Stick. David Allen Greer, Punchline, Sacramento.
Hey, that's my time. Peace. Sunday. Enjoy your headliner. I'm out of here. My name's David Allen Greer.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Here's Adam.
Good Elvis song right here. Elvis had some sort of corny, campy, crappy songs, but this was not one of them. 30 years ago today, I guess.
Yeah.
Ooh, is it my brother's birthday?
When the man
it's
passed.
The 16th.
Yeah, it's Anthony's birthday.
Your brother died, killed Elvis.
No, but it's his
Brother's birthday is Elvis's death, yeah. Yes. I remember where I was.
So do I.
Where were you?
Where were you?
I was in my dad's, my stepdad's GTO. He had an old gold GTO, and we were heading on the 405 freeway. Must have been somewhere around noon or something when I heard it on the oldies radio station, which is still the oldies radio station and still down the hall, though back then they played stuff from the 20s.
Right. It was Sinatra then.
Yeah. So that's where I heard the news.
Which is sadder for me. I don't know that Elvis died or that I heard it in the car on the way to be the MC at the Bakersfield County Fair.
Really?
Yeah. And I was outdrawn, swear to God, it's in my book. I was outdrawn by the two-headed pig fetus.
Yeah.
Like, which do you want to see? The guy from the Partridge Family or the two-headed pig fetus? Mm. I got my ass kicked. It's really sad.
Not
man.
The red-headed pig fetus?
Yeah, no. Well, with the two heads, not the washed up one. That two-headed pig fetus will work forever.
Good times. T, you weren't born, so you don't even know.
Yeah, I don't have any.
You don't know from Elvis. You don't know from the king. Nope. All right, but now, from the king to the queen of news, Teresa Strasser.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
As you just mentioned, Adam, today is the 30th anniversary of the death of Elvis Presley. His widow, Priscilla, spoke to Larry King last night, and she talked about how unexpected it was to her and everyone else in the family when Elvis died.
It was hard to believe because you just never, ever expected it to happen, not with him. I think for all of us who were close to him, we just never thought that could happen. Go to the hospital just to check in, to rest and recuperate, get away from everybody, or he'd, you know, be sick and you'd think, oh my gosh, you know, what does he have? And he'd pop out of it in a few days. You just never thought it was going to happen.
I don't know, man. At that age, if you just check in the hospital every now and again to check things out.
Just to rest, recuperate.
He was younger than I, right? When he died, I'm 48 now.
Yeah, oh, no, yeah, I think it was 42.
Okay, if you're 42 and you're checking into the hospital every now and again, Priscilla might want to have an idea this could possibly happen to a guy like him.
Yeah. Her daughter, what the hell's her name?
Lisa Marie?
Lisa Marie seems like one of the most hateful, bitter, just sort of, she always has a puss on. She just seems like one of the most uncomfortable people to spend time with. She's
Every time I see her, she's like, I know I would have turned out the exact same way given the circumstances, I'm sure, but,
What if Nicolas Cage is the second weirdest person you've married?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a good point.
That's
like,
disturbing.
Nick Cage married her because he's a huge fan of her dad.
Right.
And then she'd already married Michael Jackson. So Nick Cage is not the weirdest of her husband.
And she just...
That's weird.
She does these interviews and she has a puss on the entire interview.
Is that just the way her face is shaped?
The I don't know, she looks the same as the King, but the King wasn't sporting the puss his whole career. He smiled once in a while.
There's only two men I trust. One of them's me. The other's not you.
Yeah, Con Air, everybody.
I was flipping around the channels the other day, and I saw one of these Elvis movies, and I couldn't believe it was the most racist thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Really?
He was on a date with this blonde girl, this actress who I couldn't recognize. She was probably famous. And they were at this home of a family who were Asian, and there was a bunch of Asian kids that gathered around, and they were singing. Songs in what seemed to be Chinese, and then Elvis was kind of making fun of how they spoke, but it was all in, you could tell it was good natured at the time, but it came across as horribly racist.
Everything. He did Jigaboo Sock Hop.
Oh, yeah,
ever see that one
now
from the
50s? It doesn't hold up.
Serious biz, though. You ever see Bugs Bunny cartoons during World War II?
Oh, yeah.
Where they say, I guess you can say they were quoting a cartoon character. They call the Japanese those Japs. They make it with giant teeth and big giant round glasses. It's the most racist thing you ever saw.
Well,
and then
they
end with Bai Bonds.
It was a time where...
Not Gary Bonds or Barry Bonds.
It's only... there was a time when that's all we knew and that's all we had and that's what you did. Yes. Yes, all those... There was no room in any TV movies or any films for any race to play anything but the race.
Yeah.
You weren't playing a doctor, a dentist, or a friend.
Right,
you were
buddy.
Playing a Japanese guy or a black guy.
Right.
So when you played the Japanese guy, you needed to do a lot of bowing and wear big, thick glasses.
And as often as not, you weren't even Asian. Anybody here happen to see John Wayne as Genghis Khan?
Yes.
No, a lot of times it was Caucasians in ridiculous makeup because they didn't hire Asians.
Well, even
I
as
John Wayne, days.
John Wayne is Genghis Khan, can you believe it? As John Wayne as a 4'11" Mongolian.
Well, even as recent as Dancing with Wolves, remember his love interest, who was supposed to be Native American, was played by, I think, Mary McDonnell.
Mm.
Somebody who's clearly white.
Oh, so great to be white.
The
Listen,
more you know.
All you white people, you should just fall to your pearly knees and look up at what I know as a white god. And
hello. My name is Graham.
And thank
Wellington.
Him every day.
Well,
you really should.
It's not a great day for David Stern to be white. He's the commissioner of the NBA. He's got a little trouble with one of his refs, Tim Donaghy. He admitted in federal court yesterday that he sold information to pro gamblers who wanted to make money on NBA games, and of course that he bet on games himself. He pled guilty to two felonies. He faces a maximum of 25 years in prison. Here, NBA commish David Stern's thoughts on Tim Donaghy's guilty plea.
I'd say the best case scenario is a wake-up call to us that says that you cannot get complacent about your process. And even if you think you have the best, they may not be good enough. Nothing may be good enough to stop criminal activity. You know, it's a sad day for the NBA and for him and his family.
Yeah, I tell you, the sadder day than this is when he goes to the place that's made up of 50% of what is made up of the 90% in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's a little math equation, but the brothers in the joint aren't going to be happy when the short white guy's been fixing the game shows up.
And then, of course, he could get out, and he's been busted before he paid off.
Right.
Those people aren't going to be real happy either.
They're saying he has some low-level mob ties.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you've heard of drunk driving, and I don't know what you'd call this, but this is a spectacular case of drunk driving out of Michigan. A 67-year-old woman, she was on vacation. So, you know, she thought she was going to have a little fun. It was a Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a few drinks, and she got in her BMW SUV.
Mm-hmm. Let me jump in for one quick second. We have Peanut.
Oh.
She's working the phone lines over here. So if you want to call in at 866-901-ADAM,
you can have a little chit-chat with Peanut. Yeah.
Good luck. I like Peanut, but she's not very good on the phones.
I'm going to give her a second chance because of, I don't want to get into the specifics, right. But I had a little change of heart when we had
But
our,
you told
our
me
talk.
That she was always talking to Dee Dee instead of picking.
You know what? I did what you call rush to judgment.
Okay.
I was wrong.
Okay.
I was wrong
Fair
about
enough.
Peanut after well, she told me some things.
I'm glad she's still here. I've always liked Peanut.
She's a good
now.
Friend. Good girl.
So this woman's 67 years old. She goes for a little drunk drive on a Saturday afternoon around 5. She was driving by a hotel called the Sugar Beach Resort. Stopped paying attention. And
good name for TV.
Very sweet. She slammed into the building.
Mm-hmm.
So she backed her car up in the process, hitting a parked car. So she sped off. She's now hit one hotel and one parked car.
Mm-hmm.
Someone calls the police and they track her down. She sees the police. She speeds off again. They follow her as she pulls into the parking lot of a Quality Inn where she was planning on surrendering. But she stumbled out of the car. She forgot to put the car in park. The car started rolling right over her own right leg and then into the side of the hotel.
Wow.
So her tally, two hotels, a parked car, and her own leg.
And a partridge in a pear tree. She's done.
Good times.
Well, she went to the hospital to get her leg looked at, and she's facing several charges, including leaving the scene of an accident, fleeing, eluding, operating while intoxicated, and transporting open alcohol.
Quality Inn makes me suspicious. It's like they're overcompensating right in the title.
Would you prefer Economy Inn?
I just like it when they just go with the red roof.
Yeah.
Or the name of the guy who started the chain 30
Howard
years
John.
Ago
right.
or something like that. The Quality Inn is like, hey, did you eat over at the yummy food place? Huh? Shouldn't I decide whether it's yummy? Seems like they're trying too hard. I don't like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to date the chick called the not fat chick.
Yes.
Right.
I don't want to go to the bank that is called the we won't gouge you and we're really nice bank. It just seems suspicious. Seems like they're hiding something.
Yeah.
I don't want the low quality in.
Yeah.
And I don't like the ones that have the word value woven into it.
Right.
Because I always think, whether it's a car or a hotel, when I hear value, I think, you mean there's a lot better than this floating around out there?
If they put stuff in the title that is obvious, like reverse psychology, the no hooker in.
Right. Danny pulls right in. That's right.
Well, in closing, In Touch Weekly has come out with their all-important list of the top Hollywood bottoms. Best asses in Hollywood.
All right. Well, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Because that's a nice teasable place to take a break. Jonah Hill, by the way, from... Oh, wait a minute. I just got a note here. Jonah Hill should be here in 5 minutes. Oh, all right.
Good.
I have... Jonah Hill, by the way, is the star of...
Superbad.
Superbad, which I decided to call Badass, and I'm sticking with it. Superbad, and will probably be the biggest, I think it'll be the biggest movie this weekend.
Yeah, the spots are hysterical.
Right, for the love of Christ, Rush Hour 3 was number one with like $50 million after being panned by every single human being that saw it. I gotta believe Rush Hour 3 is ripe for the picking, so... I'm sure Superbad's going to be number one. We'll speak to the star of what will be the number one movie this weekend in a few. We'll come back. T, you'll give us the list of what?
Best asses in Hollywood.
Best celebrity asses in Hollywood. Again, Peanut is manning the phone at 866-901-ADAM, so you can talk to her. We'll be back with that list, and then Jonah Hill after this.
And now, Danny Bonaducci.
Well, I love that. Dig this. Here's the deal. I'm taking on some guy named Danny. Just makes me laugh. It's like other redheads. They're all bitches, redheaded guys. They're punks. I'm the only real, like, guy redhead. Danny.
Hold on. What about
name.
Johnny Whitaker from Family Affair?
See what I'm saying? What about Opie? I'd beat all their asses. Now, this guy, Danny, is from another radio show, Opie Anthony. I've selected my squadron for the paintball war on Saturday in Castaic, but... You can still go to AdamCarolla.com. You just should, by the way. There's cool stuff at that site. AdamCarolla.com for your chance to win the prize packs from the movie War, starring Jason Lee and some guy named Statham.
Wait a minute.
Wait, Jet Li and Jason Statham. I got so nervous on his name. God damn it.
Jet Li's in it, and so is Jason Statham. So there, haha. War hits in theaters everywhere Friday, August 24th.
Oh, that was that.
That's sorry. I'm sorry.
Was that?
But I was buttoning my pants while doing it because I ran in. I just got in the bathroom, and Mike Dawson comes in and he goes, "You got 30 seconds, and I throw into you." So there's a little finger action going
Danny
on.
Danny pees Red Bull and crap steroids.
Wow, that's good.
T.
Yes.
The rest of the news.
Hard-hitting story about great asses in Hollywood. In Touch Weekly has come out with their top 10 bottoms.
Nice.
Shall I tell you from 10 to 1?
You want
to
guess like one or two each?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's got guesses?
I'm going to go for the real handsome guy.
Girls.
The English
girls.
Oh,
only.
Yeah, those are all girls.
Sorry.
Don't be gay.
That was so gay.
No, bottoms so gay.
Went right to asses.
You're gay for saying that.
Bottoms what then?
Focus.
Oh, the best rear ends?
Yes.
Best asses.
Okay. Alex and Lynn, what are they code for? What's
top
Alex?
Is a top, Lynn is a bottom.
I apologize. Right. The best butts, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, okay. God. Selma Hayek.
Selma Hayek should be in there. They always put the Beyonce Knowles in there,
yeah,
and they always put the J-Lo's in there, even though those are big asses.
In my opinion, they're big asses.
They're not nice asses. They're big asses.
Anyone else have any guesses?
Let me explain something. Yeah. Asses don't work like ice cream in that, one scoop is great, but a sundae, banana split, that's awesome.
Right.
No, they get too big. There's too much ice cream on that cone.
No, and you know what it's done? It's given other girls excuses to be fat and say, now I have this great ass.
I'm round and
I'm womanly.
It's how we balance out all our you must be thin conversation because
right.
We feel guilty as a society and those of us in the media feel guilty for looking at emaciated Jessica Alba and saying how beautiful she looks on the red carpet. So then when Beyonce comes by or J-Lo comes by, we go, oh, baby got back. Oh, go boys, love that back. Not really. It's a handful of black guys who like J-Lo's ass. The rest of us think it's a little bit too big in proportion to the rest
sometimes
of her body.
It gets full-blown bizarre.
Yes, she
at
is
least Beyonce's a thin girl who has a special kind of butt.
Yeah,
right. But the big girls with a big butt are just big girls. It's not a great butt.
They're both beautiful women with big asses. A little too big.
A little too big for me.
Well, here's the list. And some of them are thin. They just have cute butts.
Good.
Number 10.
Your butt should fit in both palms.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think Eva Longoria fits that bill.
Absolutely.
She's number 10.
I know you don't like her, but that's a great butt.
This is a tough one because this one's a moving target. I feel like her body's changing too much for me to know. Mariah Carey at number 9.
Yeah, I can't tell. Because I usually think of her as fat now.
I can't tell.
Yeah.
Because she was hot.
Weird one to toss on the list.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, In Touch Weekly says she has the 9th greatest ass in Hollywood. Number 8, I think both of you will like. I think she's got an amazing body. Cameron Diaz.
Flat ass.
It's too small?
It's not that bad of an ass. It's just not attached to that great of a girl to make
Look, there's nothing wrong with her at all. It's just her ass is a little. She shakes it. She got on the list because every second movie she does the ass shake.
And dances like a tard, which is really embarrassing for a girl
cute.
That pretty.
Yeah.
You'll like her for it.
Right, but kind of a flat ass.
All right, I'm good. As my friend Mario Lopez used to say when he'd see a girl with no butt, he'd look at her and he'd point her finger and go, you know, that'd be a great spot for an ass.
And he walked away.
He's a cute boy,
I
Mario.
I like that. Number 7, Fergie.
Hater.
Hater?
Hater, I don't care.
I can't. I
her butt could catch fire and may, and I still wouldn't look.
I find her sort of masculine and kind of looks like she has a 10,000-yard stare. And as I've said many times, she tried to pick me up once, and anybody who attempts to pick me up can't make any list of best ass or best beautiful or best anything.
Is
I will not tolerate that.
Is that everyone in this room? If you like me, there's something wrong with you. Is that every person in this room?
If you think I'm a nice guy, you think I'm a funny guy, and you think, or you want me to come over to your house tell you what to do with it, that I'll buy. But if you're hot for me, there's something wrong with you. Honey, are you listening?
Or if you want to be intimate and spend your time romantically with me and with this whispering speed nothings, you're sick and screwed up.
Yeah. Look, if you want to do that with me, I'm going to have to go get you a CAT scan to see if you have a tumor. If you want to do it with Bonaducci,
I'm going to
drag you. I'm going to chase you with a butterfly net and knock your Napoleon hat off.
It's the best I can do, but have a carburetor inserted into your chest. Corolla will like you forever.
Right.
I'll think about that. Well, Adam, as we've discussed before, your wife, Lynette, still says she has a crush on you from time to time.
That's bitching.
I love that.
Mm.
Quickly,
that's
we'll get to
you
the best.
Me up
yeah, except when you wake her up to make her play the kid's toy because it sounds like Girls Gone Wild.
Well, it's the same song. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll go through these quickly. The other best ass is number 6, Halle Berry, number 5.
Let me say this.
Okay.
The kids' toys.
Yes.
One thing I've learned now from being a parent, I swore I wouldn't be one of those jackasses that writes a children's book because I crapped out a few kids.
Right.
And I'm not.
No, I want to.
And I've limited my kids' commentary stuff, all the jokes about, you know, shaking the keys in front of them and all that kind of stuff. But I will say this, one observation with the kids.
Yeah.
My house has turned into a toy chest. There are toys upstairs, downstairs, and in every effing room of that house. These kids have more crap at 14 months than I've had my entire life, and if you include every guy I grew up with. Every single one of those toys doesn't really work, or I can't figure out a way to turn it on when the kid hands it to me. Natalia picks up her little crap. She picks up her little books. The little books, you squeeze them, and they turn on and stuff. And she comes up to me, and they're covered with, like, you know, material, and she hands them to me. It's really cute. And then she gives it to me, and I look at it, and I start punching stuff. I hit Big Bird in the nose, and I hit Big Bird in the crotch, and I start squeezing it. And eventually, I activate something, and Big Bird starts singing, but I can't figure out how to do it. But every single toy, so I can't turn any of them on when I'm trying to entertain the kids, but when it's 12:30 at night and I've had a few glasses of wine and I'm walking back into the den to watch a little TiVo before I tuck myself in and trip over a toy, it fires right up and it's on 10. Any toy that I brush, kick, sit on, step on, or go by, and it's usually when I'm trying to be the most quiet when the lights are off and everyone else is asleep, they go on just like, I just break them and they fire up like pinball machines. Now, I don't know how that works, but it does.
It's a law. It's Murphy's Law, if you will. I cannot make Tickle Me Elmo do anything. Or I couldn't when both my kids were young enough for that. But I go to plug in a porn and sit down, and I sit on Tickle Me Elmo, and he starts screaming, and I hear little footsteps scampering.
Danny's masturbating!
I gotta dive for the stop because I lost all my remotes.
Now that's,
so I have to dive to physically either turn off the TV.
You start punching it. That's what my daughter hands me, the Tickle Me Elmo, and there needs to be a little bullseye or something. You just start punching it in the nose and grabbing its hand. It's really very bizarre. You know what it's like? It's like you feel like you're one of those kids who was molested and they hand you the doll. Where did the priest touch you? That's me with Elmo, just punching it in the groin. All right, the best asses. Sorry.
All right. Tyra Banks at number 5.
Oh, the goddamn humanity.
Kim Kardashian at number 4.
But she got... She's not a celebrity.
Well, she's in a porno, and something dirty happens.
Yes.
I can't say because Jack Silver already has written me one angry email today.
She didn't do a celebrity porn. She did a porn.
Yes.
Right.
With Ray J.
Just because Entertainment Tonight handed you a cordless mic and told you to stand out on a red carpet and talk to nobodies for 10 minutes once does not make you an effing celebrity.
She has her own reality show.
Oh, please. It's called I'm Not a Celebrity.
Yes, and it's produced by Ryan Seacrest.
Really?
Jessica Biel at number 3.
He's hosting the halftime show of the Super Bowl and the pregame show. And
the players must be insane.
If they found out who he was,
he's gay.
Yeah. They would want to kill him.
And I like him. I'm just telling you it's the wrong call.
I want to hack out a lung. I am so nauseated. I like him too, but I am officially nauseated by this news.
No, there are some things about Seacrest that were. I remember the uproar when he got a star on the Walk of Fame 3 years ago.
Mm.
It's like he was the afternoon drive guy on a local station, and people were up in arms. But the host of that show at the Super Bowl, he's going to get killed.
Well, he's an excellent MC, and he's very smooth at the live stuff, and I'm sure he'll do a great job.
He's gay! This is you. I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
But what you have done at Fox is you have taken to my shrine, my holiest of days, and you've desecrated it with Seacrest. That's what you've done. You've essentially, it's like me walking into a temple going to Wailing Wall, dropping my pants and carving my initials in urine right in the side of the Wailing Wall.
Wow, don't wail on your wall.
Golden Wailing Shower.
Who else is ass?
Jessica Biel at number three.
That's why Seacrest didn't make it.
All right.
Beyonce at number two.
Shocker.
And predictably, J-Lo.
Yeah, because we all love huge asses.
Not me.
What did they talk to make this list? Five black guys? Oh, the readers. Oh,
the
fat chicks.
The readers?
The readers.
No, this is what they in touch. You have a bunch of fat chicks sitting around going, we need a nice fat ass to represent so our ass doesn't look as fat in comparison. All right, exactly. Good times, T.
Yes, that's it. That's Teresa. That's the news.
That's good.
Bye.
Teresa.
Vital today. News. Today. Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
All right, Jonah Hill from Superbad. Yeah. The star.
And it's also how I described that last newscast. Super bad.
Super bad. Oh, baby.
I know.
You're awesome.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm,
start over.
I'm shoving my pool cue in your spokes. You're trying to you're trying to make the ride up the hill.
Yeah.
Come on, baby.
You're doing your job. And Adam and I are killing you. Would you stop thinking that you did something?
That's right.
I'd like to do the top 10 bottoms. Oh, I know who's a bottom. I killed you right even before you even said hi.
Agreed. We'll take a quick break. Jonah Hill, superstar from Superbad, in next.
Jonah's class because I thought I'd be cooking with a partner. But she's never here, and I don't get twice the grades for doing all the work. And it's BS. Excuse my language. I'm just saying that we all know home ec is a joke. No offense. It's just like everyone takes his class to get an A, and I'm sorry. And I'm not putting down your profession, but it's just the way I feel. I don't want to sit here all by myself. No offense. And I just think that I don't ever need to cook tiramisu. Am I going to be a chef? No.
Jules' partner isn't here today either. Pair up with her. Station 4.
Jules. All right, I'll give it another shot. Give home ec another shot.
And now, Superbad's Jonah Hill on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Jonah.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Congratulations on all the recent success.
Yeah, it's a lot dirtier than that clip.
Yeah.
Not literally, it's hard to watch the trailers and stuff for me because it's like, if you saw 40-Year-Old Virgin or Knocked Up, it's the same group, and it's a lot dirtier than they could
is
show.
Is it dirtier, but is it dirtier than Knocked Up or 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Yeah, the language, yeah, totally.
You know what I like? A lot of actors would come in here, and they'd use any other word to look really clever. But you jump right to it. Dude, you got to watch it. It's way dirtier than that.
Yeah.
Now I'm going. Yeah, I mean, I was going to go anyway, but now I know I'm going.
Well, if you like, if you saw like 40-Year-Old Virgin or Knocked Up, they're filthy, but they have a lot of heart. And our motto is D and H. Mm. D and heart.
Mm.
I can't say the first part.
Nice.
Well, the moral of the story is, I've always used this example.
Mm-hmm.
If you're laughing and smiling and nodding your head, somebody can say horrible things and it's cool.
Right.
It's like the creepy guy at the office. The creepy guy at the office versus the cool guy at the office. The cool guy at the office can say whatever he wants. Hey, right. T, looks like you got some last night, baby. Right. Yeah. You know you got some last night. Look at you. Come here, sit on my lap. I'll get away, Kurt. He was cool. But the weirdo guy?
Yeah, he can't say
He's like, new skirt, and you're like, I am fine. I will sue your ass. Back to the Stone Age, weirdo. Listen, Russell, you get your creepy eyes and your members-only jacket out of my life. You're freaking me out.
Well, I didn't know all that.
Those movies, and I saw both of them, and it's an interesting new formula, have really cool, likable people saying really vile things in really filthy situations, and it's because they're the cool guy at the office, and you don't feel threatened by them, that you're free to laugh.
Well, also, if you see somebody get pooped on, if you see them get beaten down, you forgive them for saying really crazy, crude things, I feel.
Right.
Like, I think that's
they
kind
were
of
victimized by life.
Yeah, it's like, in this movie, it's about two best friends, right? And it takes place in the course of one night, like American Graffiti or Dazed and Confused or whatever.
Ah.
And we're basically trying to buy alcohol for the girls we like. But what it's really about is about me and the other guy, Michael Cera from Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
We got to different colleges. We're having separation anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, it's like you see us through the course of this night freak out.
Right. So it's
freak out.
It was written. Right. Now, was it written by Seth Rogen and his old buddy?
His writing partner, Evan Goldberg, for Ally G Show. Also.
When they were in high school.
Yeah, they started writing it when they were 14
you
or
know,
something.
It's crazy.
After they met at bar mitzvah class.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, they met at Hebrew school, yeah.
It's a bond.
Isn't that cool?
Who says Hollywood's run by Jews? Let me say, meeting in bar mitzvah class. We must infiltrate these sort of things. You know, just like we need to get...
in a 12-step program?
No, we need to... Well, that...
Dude, you want to meet the stars, you come with me to rehab.
No, you send the FBI agent into the mosque to find out what's going on with the terrorists.
Right.
Let's get the goyim into Hebrew class to figure out what the next project is.
Problem is, you then have to sit through Hebrew school. Oh, not fun.
Yeah. Oy.
That's where they got all the writers from our show of shows.
Say fat of Hebrew. It's interesting. I say fat of Hebrew school. The thing that I just thought of is, you know, how everyone is getting so much younger, and we always talk about it when it comes to sports. Like, these guys are going straight from high school into the NBA now. Well, professional writers used to be 55-year-old guys who were balding and smoked cigars. And they all wrote for these comedy shows. Now they're 21 and hip and young and whatever. And
well, I wouldn't necessarily call us hip.
Well, if you're on 1,000 billboards, you automatically become hip.
Yeah. I guess.
You get some hip factor. You're some hip points.
So, Seth, now, how old are you, Jonah?
I'm 23, and I'm writing movies also.
And Seth is Seth Rogen.
He's 25.
Is a couple years older than you. You, when he was writing this movie somewhere, you were a sophomore or freshman in high school somewhere,
and
he
was going to play the lead. He was going to play the lead, but then he just aged so terribly that he couldn't do it. Luckily,
I didn't know all that.
Nice. You got a quote.
I know how that feels.
Yeah, Seth, he's aged poorly, so I'm reaping all the benefits.
Well, I don't know this, but from doing Loveline for 10 years and hearing Seth Rogen laugh, I can tell you that man smokes copious amounts of herbs.
Yes.
I know the pot laugh from a mile away. Seth's got that pot laugh going.
He's never smoked pot before. It's so funny that he said that.
He's
from Vancouver.
You understand? Yes. You get a bong on your 12th birthday when you're from Vancouver.
Is that right?
He just aged really
fast. For your bar mitzvah, you get a bong.
It's called a bong mitzvah. Is what they call it over there. It's a bar mitzvah with a carburetor on the side of it.
It sucks to age badly. You've seen this, Corolla. I'll bet you have. An Adam Carolla type in the breakdowns.
Somebody, I've been told that they've looked for an Adam Carolla type before.
We need a Danny Bonaducci type, but not weathered. That's
really?
That's what it said, man.
Whoa.
Oh. Well,
Gretchen put that out just last week.
I noticed that there was a review of a porn movie, and they were trying to describe the porn actress, and they said, she looks like, legitimate host Teresa Strasser, but leaner.
Oh! Kimmel got called a beefy Bob Crane in a review. Uh-huh. And I've been called a braying sports aficionado. Yeah. Yeah. That was always nice. And I was was called a wolf man.
But Jonah, you've been beloved by the media. You've had nothing but glowing reviews.
Yeah, this movie's gotten some pretty crazy reviews. They've been comparing it to like Fast Times and Dazed and Confused, and on Rotten Tomatoes, you know that website?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
We were at 96% yesterday.
What?
Which for a comedy is like unheard of. Yeah.
Well, the spots look good. Again, with Rush Hour 3, which was universally panned, coming in at number one last week, I say there's going to be a new sheriff in town. Is going to be named Superbad, and the deputy's Jonah Hill.
Oh, man.
And he's going to clean up this town.
What's up? Well, you know, everyone's always like ask us questions as if the movie's already come out and been a big hit because it's been, you know, reviewed so well and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I don't know. Literally, it could come out. It comes out tomorrow and it could bomb.
No,
and like, we have no idea. And we're like, but at least we made a movie that we think is badass. And if it fails, we failed making a movie that we thought was crazy and awesome.
And it was a script written by Seth Rogen when he was 17 or so?
He started writing it when he was like 13 or 14 with his writing partner, Evan. And then it's obviously changed over the past 10 or 11 years. And then when I come on to star in it, Michael Cera, who was George Michael on Arrested Development, and Bill Hader from SNL, and we all, we're all writers as well, so we would sit around and rewrite and do rewrites and rewrites.
Now, how was Seth with that process? I mean, was he cool with it?
I've worked with Seth, like, on a bunch of movies. He's one of my best friends. Like, We basically improvise a ton anyways once we're there. I mean, like, we'll shoot the script once or twice and then just throw it
out. Do some improvised takes.
Yeah, and basically start from scratch.
I wish I could say that about anyone. Oh, we've done a bunch of movies together.
Yeah.
Well, we've gotten lucky that, like, people aren't completely sick of seeing us together. Oh, we'll see tomorrow. Maybe they are. Well,
are you nervous, Jenna?
You know, I'm a pretty nervous guy in general, but I mean, I literally, like, I mean, I'm just literally not thinking about it. I've just, that's been my only strategy, has been like, whoa, tomorrow could either, you know, really push me a lot into a great level.
Right.
But either way, I think the movie's awesome. So people will find it, and if they see it, they'll like it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the real fear should be if you have a crappy movie,
right.
Not yeah. if people don't see it. Your really good movie. Even there's a way that history can even be kinder to you, which is you have a really good movie, not enough people see it, and then 5 years from now everyone makes it into a better movie,
right.
Because no one saw it. They're like, that movie was great,
like,
that's what happened
office
to Office Space.
Yeah,
it, believe it or not, it even happened to Ishtar. Ishtar was the world's crappiest movie when it came out, and nobody saw it. And now people beat up on it for like 20 years, and now people are like, you know, Ishtar?
Not that bad.
Not that bad.
Before it's time.
Well, they went in reverse. Have you ever, the Bing Crosby, Bob Hope movie, Road Pictures on the Road too?
Right.
Well, they just took some of the funniest genre ever and then made it suck by making it Ishtar, and now Ishtar's not so bad.
Well, this is Office Space, not Ishtar. Hey, Nick.
Well, that's funny, yeah.
You saw the movie?
Oh, yeah. I caught a sneak preview up here in Portland, Oregon. I saw it on Tuesday, man. It is funny as hell. It's the funniest movie I've ever seen.
Really?
No way, man. Thanks.
You've ever seen?
Man. Yeah, I was going to comment on that, too.
Easily.
And you've seen 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Yeah, I have all that. I've seen
Knocked
40-Year-Old
Up.
Virgin. I've seen Knocked Up.
It's the highest testing one out of all of them.
Really?
Yeah, by far. Yeah.
All right. So on one hand, this is great news because Superbad better than Knocked Up. On the other hand,
better.
Jonah Hill in Knocked Up. So you're saying his previous work sucked?
Yeah.
I've heard enough of this. I'm not going to stand for this
anymore.
Hold on.
I heard a pot laugh. Did I hear a pot laugh, Nick?
It's coming from me.
No. I knew it was somewhere.
He's channeling Seth Rogen. Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Thank you for saying that, man.
Yeah. He enjoyed it, and he saw them both. Seth Rogen has a deep, has a like almost Rastafarian pot laugh.
Yeah.
see, Jonah has I've taken a few hits off a doobie pot laugh, but
that's called acting.
Seth Rogen says, I eat pot for breakfast and gargle with bong water. Pot laugh. You understand? I crap doobies.
The brothers, though,
I did
not
this
the
article. Like, right. They did an article on me in the New York Times magazine,
mm-hmm.
and I admitted, I didn't realize, I guess I had admitted to smoking pot, like that I smoke pot.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandma and mom were like, and my dad were like, hey, were you going to tell us that you just were going to go in the New York Times because, like, all of our coworkers and friends read this?
Oh my
God. I was like, oh, you know, well, what are you going to do?
If my
it didn't take a police squad to figure out that Seth and I smoke pot. I mean, yeah, it's like
if my mom read in the New York Times that all I did was smoke pot, she'd have a party for the good boy.
Yeah, that's all.
He's
that's
growing
all.
Up.
Well, also, when the movie hits number one in a couple of days, Grandma will change her tune.
She loved it. I thought she was going to hate it, and she loved it.
When it's number one, I want you to call her up Monday morning and go, hey, Granny,
let's smoke a deep.
I want you to kiss some Hesher ass, bitch. This stoner's number one.
I think you call her and you go, Grandma, what time is it?
4:20.
Well, when I had a really little part in 40-Year-Old Virgin, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I was trying to buy those boots just for like one scene, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's you, yeah.
And my grandma, I was like, hey, I'm in a movie called 40-Year-Old Virgin, and I got like 20 phone calls where she called all of her friends, everyone we knew,
mm-hmm.
and said, my grandson's in a movie called Million Dollar Virgin. No one could go find it.
Jonah Hill, Superbad is the name of the movie. It is out Friday, but
and
there
midnight
are
screenings
midnight
tonight.
Screenings tonight, y'all. So,
check
want to talk about a party, you want to be the first one to see it, you go tonight, other than that kiss ass in Portland. You go tonight and see it. If not, you got to wait. Comes out Friday. Great to meet you, Jonah.
Dude, thank you guys for having me. This is a cool show.
Keep up the good work and come back and see us.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Quick break. Right back.
It's out now.
I am now going to go hog wild on a few plugs. I want to thank David Alan Greer and his sidekick Peanut for coming in here and bringing it as per usual at the Punchline tomorrow through Sunday.
Leave it to death row.
Beautiful Sacramento.
Leave it to death row.
Oh, I love that man. Jonah Hill, speaking of love, what a nice guy.
Yeah.
Super sweet, thankful for being here. What a sweet kid. Super Bad in theaters tomorrow, tonight. Midnight showings. Check that out. And Cliff Young. Who's he? He's the brains behind IECoffee.com. He does all our coffee here at the show. He's a great guy. His wife is ill. It's a good cause and a great product. IECoffee.com. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
We need a Danny Bonaducci type, but not weathered.
I would like you to use me as your personal toilet.
Well, I hate to say it, but I think I'm the person that bugs people.